about.
So easy. You got to put it in perspective.
All right, we're going to do it once more.
Uh-huh.
And this time, no mistakes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! Back
when Karnowski pushes it for Crossley, she'll just ring it around the boards, trying to kill off a little bit of time. Flynn and Tarnowski working with it. Tarnowski gets it behind the net. Tarnowski lets it for Flynn. Flynn scores! Natalie Flynn! Natalie Flynn! Natalie Flynn! Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night, Minnesota! Natalie Flynn, the captain, with a multi-goal game! I have lost my voice in excitement! The Terriers take this one! 6-5! In the overtime!
And now.
What's a radio show? Is that like a podcast?
Well, kind of, Pete, kind of. Now, are you really young or just kind of stupid?
Neither. I'm just like mad high, bro.
Our feature presentation.
I've never been as excited about anything in my whole life as that announcer was about that goal.
Well, you didn't watch Natalie Flynn.
Apparently not.
She killed it.
Good night, like, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Good night, Minnesota, indeed.
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there. Hey, kids, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time, it must be a Thursday, the 16th of February. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Chip.
First of all, I was not convincing, Chip, at all.
Sure.
Second of all, Allie, I'm very surprised to see you in a hat today, knowing how dreamy our guests are on the program today. Don't you usually doll up just in case? You know, sparks fly?
What's wrong with you?
Love connection?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you,
Maybe
sir?
Maybe they're into the newsies. Who knows?
Wow. Yeah, here's the thing, Bean.
Yeah, what's the thing?
My job is not really what I do to meet men. I don't come to work and think, maybe today's the day I can meet a man and then never have to work again. He can take care of me forever. Some people work to work for the love of it, Bean.
And I completely understand and respect that opinion. However, when you factor in Brandon Boyd, I feel like all of that goes out the window and you go, ooh, wouldn't it be nice if he looked at me pretty?
I don't think I'm Brandon's type. I feel like
really?
He goes for a more earthy girl. Maybe someone that can just say, hey, I'd like to talk about patchouli.
I mean,
I'm pretty zen. That's not me.
I'm trying to get some of that Brandon Boyd action.
I know you are.
We all were.
I know you are. No, very handsome, an artist.
Charming, yeah.
A completely charming, lovely man. Not for me.
Maybe your approach, though, maybe the surprise will be that he likes a girl who plays a little hard to get. And maybe he's going to go, ooh,
again,
you know what?
Not really caring at all
really?
About that.
I don't get that. I don't know. You've lost me. I'm sorry.
Also, a little secret for the guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have really bad roots right now. And let me break it down. It has nothing to do with anything I just said.
I see.
At all.
Okay. All right.
My roots are real bad, and my hairdresser is at New York Fashion Week, so I can't get in until next week.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, your backup's not here either.
No, Kevin usually will do my roots.
Yeah.
Like, if it gets really bad, he is a wonderful hairdresser.
All right. Well, that's a much more believable story. Okay. Because I was having
trouble. Got you going for a minute, though, right?
You did.
You're like, wow, she's just a really respectable lady.
I was definitely having trouble squaring what I know about you with what you were saying. All right. Well, here's a great story to get us started before we get into today's truly outstanding all-new Kevin and Bean show. They come to you guys and they say, hey, we're from the city and we're going to change the name of your street to Dick Street.
Oh, yes.
We just want to let you know
Sweet.
That it's going to be Dick
awesome.
Street. Are you down with that, or do you throw a hissy fit like the people in this neighborhood in New Jersey?
No, I celebrate it.
Yeah, I
you like
do.
It, huh?
I make T-shirts, hats. Come join me on Dick Street.
What's going on is Ellsworth Street is a very popular and long street in New Jersey, and there's just a little portion of it, three blocks of it, that is named Dick Street for some reason. Hmm. You know, lots of towns have weird things with roads and how they get named over the years and whatnot. So the city has looked into it, and they've decided that it makes it difficult for emergency service personnel to always know where they're going when they're called because the whole thing is Ellsworth, except
yeah.
for this tiny little Dick Street's kind of hard to find. So they've decided they're going to change the part that's Dick Street to Ellsworth so it's all consistent.
That makes sense.
Kind of makes sense.
Sure.
And they probably wouldn't have a problem with it if it weren't Dick Street.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the report where they went into the neighborhood to Channel 4 New York to talk to some of the people who live on what is now Ellsworth and will soon be Dick Street.
It definitely is confusing. I'm standing right now on Ellsworth Street, but if I cross Howard Avenue here, this now turns into Dick Street. So the homeowners on Ellsworth are struggling now with changing the name of their street, but they want to know if they can change it to something other than Dick Street.
By the way, I want to say I'm personally offended as a man who used the radio name Dick Street for many years
right.
back in the 80s, and I had no problems with it.
Good name.
Now all of a sudden it's a bad thing?
People laugh when they think of Dick Street.
Living on a street that's the butt of jokes isn't what Kenneth Roman wants.
Not exactly a good name for a street, so they can name it anything they want, you know.
I need every interview to be him.
Except for Dick Street.
Roman and five of his neighbors live on a one-block section of Ellsworth Street in Clifton, about half a mile away from the rest of Ellsworth. City leaders have proposed changing the name of this section of Ellsworth to Dick Street to make it easier to find in an emergency.
By the way, in 2017, I mean, I guess people are people and people love to have a laugh, but is Dick Street still something that people are going to make fun of, or we're no more mature now than we would have been 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago?
Dick Street's always going to be
funny. It's always going to be funny.
It's always going to be
funny.
It's
always changed.
Okay, there's no way we ever grow out of that as humans, right?
No.
Okay.
I hope not.
I don't like it.
Why not?
Because it's changed the address, plus the name.
Rana worries that changing his home address on his driver's license and all of his paperwork will be a huge headache.
Okay, now, that's sort of legitimate, right?
Absolutely, sure.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
But plus, he thinks switching his home address from Ellsworth Street to what he calls a less than flattering street name will make his property value go down.
Now, is that true?
Come on.
In other words, if he goes to sell his house and the next family that comes goes, oh, great neighborhood, great schools. I love this house.
Yeah, great open concept.
Ooh, but Dick Street. Do we want to live on Dick Street? I mean, is it possible that there are people who would pass on that property just because of the street that it's on?
I think that's a very small percentage.
I would think, but... But who knows, right? I mean, there could be some people who just wouldn't. So I don't know if that'll fly or not.
So I don't want to screw up my life.
Turns out people...
I don't want to screw up my life, he says.
Really changing people. He
may be overreacting, by the way, to screw up his life if they change his street name.
Turns out people have had reservations about the street address for decades. Samantha Trella's grandfather, Lou, was the developer who built most of the homes in this neighborhood. But when it came time to build his own home at the corner of Howard and Dick in 1955...
The story goes that my grandmother did not want a Dick Street address, and so we have a Howard Ave address.
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon.
All right.
This has everything.
This neighborhood. I now need to move to Dick Street. I want to talk to that guy that they interviewed first.
Yes.
I want to talk to this guy with his pet falcon. What is happening in this neighborhood in New Jersey? Let's all go to Clifton, you guys.
I'm in.
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon, says living on this street isn't as embarrassing as everyone thinks.
That's just the weirdest thing to just randomly mention in a news report. How about, sir, could you put the falcon down so we can talk to you?
Absolutely not.
Why does the falcon have to be a part of this?
Because this. He has thoughts, too.
I know people that are named Dick, or their name's Rich and they're called Dick, so...
There is a city council meeting here.
Great soundbite. Definitely worth keeping it.
I know people named Richard or Dick, so.
That's his contribution.
Is the unfinished remark so it's cool?
So, you know.
Embarrassing as everyone thinks.
Well, I know people that are named Dick or their name's Richard and they're called Dick, so.
There is a city council meeting here in Clifton next week where they will vote on this issue. It's also worth pointing out that we used a GPS to get here to Ellsworth Street today. It did guide us to the right spot, and we did not get lost.
Yeah, GPS.
Clifton, New Jersey. I'm Jen Maxfield, News 4 New York.
Okay, if the GPS got her there fine, then doesn't emergency services, wouldn't they be using GPS too?
And you would think the most updated, for sure.
Yeah, you would think they would have whatever's necessary.
I don't know. We need to go back to the guy with the falcon.
Yeah, we really do. And we got to go to Clifton, New Jersey, apparently. That's all there is. Dick Street forever. All right, let's talk about today's Only Kevin and Bean Show. What do you guys think?
And what it do, nephew?
What it do, indeed. As we mentioned, the beautiful Brandon Boyd is going to be in here with his bandmates in Incubus today. That's going to be in the 8 o'clock hour. This is going to be very special because they're going to be world premiering a brand new single called Nimble Bastard. It's going to be played for the first time anywhere in the whole world today right here on K-Rock, and we will be Facebook Living that if you want to watch the interview.
Also, your nickname in college, correct?
As a matter of fact, yes. 1 hour before that, our friend Mike Shinoda from the band Linkin Park will be here, and he is hand-delivering his brand new single from his band. It is called Heavy. And it's we are told it is radically different from anything we've ever heard from Linkin Park before. Huh. So that just that gets me excited to hear that.
Banjos, right?
Possibly banjos.
So many banjos.
Thursdays mean two of our favorite guests every week. We catch up with Dr. Drew Pinsky with a medical story in the news. And also we talk sports just after 8 a.m. with Jim Rome on the program today. We got more tickets for WWE Raw and WWE Live on the program today. We got your Coachella tickets at 9 a.m. And we're going to introduce you to a new podcast that I think you're going to enjoy.
Nope.
Allie disagrees.
Completely.
Allie disagrees very much. But we'll tell you about that in just a few minutes, too. All of that plus Ralph Showbiz Beat is coming up next right after this on K-Rock. You're listening to world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, it's Day Without Immigrants. Did Dave come in, Ralph? Is he in the other room?
Dave Sanchez, our
producer?
Yeah, he's here. Yeah,
oh, he's here.
Yeah, why?
Is he strike-breaking? What's happening here?
Cross the line?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I believe Dave was born not only in Los Angeles, but can't even speak Spanish. So,
well, just saying.
Just saying. I don't think he qualifies.
Really? I felt like he would look at it as a good opportunity to get a day off. You know, hey, Day Without Immigrants, I'm out. All right. Well, that's good, I guess. And we're running at full strength here. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz being on a Thursday. What's going on?
You're missing Kevin. You know that, right?
Oh, right, I forgot.
But the
mics are 100%.
It's not quite full strength.
But the mics are all on.
Yeah, okay. But half of the guys in the name of the show are missing.
All right, I'm sorry. We're at 97% full strength.
Save that piece of tape for when Kevin returns.
Done.
I'll play that for him. This is scary times. Everyone thinks, oh, show business, it's so glamorous, and you get paid buckets of money, and you just have all the sex and drugs. Wrong. It's a life-threatening profession, being an actor, that you could be snuffed out like a candle in a moment.
Oh, this is awful.
There was a scene in a film they were making called The Greatest Showman about P.T. Barnum, legendary circus man P.T. Barnum. And they were filming last weekend in Brooklyn, New York. And it was a scene where a staged fire in a home was in full roar. And then P.T. Barnum was supposed to rescue his assistant from that house. Hugh Jackman played the role of P.T. Barnum. And they were filming the fake staged fire when it got out of control and became a full-blown real fire.
Oh, no.
And the house caught on fire and started to burn down. And 150 people, including Hugh Jackman, were in danger. But luckily for them, five of the extras they had hired happened to be retired firemen.
Huh.
So they took over and began hosing down the flames and got things under control rather quickly. But 100 working firefighters had to arrive on the scene, and the blaze was reportedly tremendous, in the words of one witness. So it looks like everybody was lucky to get out alive.
Was Donald Trump that witness, by the way?
I don't believe so, no.
Tremendous.
But we didn't lose Hugh Jackman. That's all that matters.
That is all that matters.
Goddamn treasure, that Hugh Jackman. Speaking of which, just this week, he released yet another photo with yet another bandage on his nose. He had another patch of basal cell carcinoma removed. And it looks bad, but he wants everyone to know he's fine and he's all is well. He said, thanks to frequent body checks and amazing doctors. This is the sixth time he's been treated for the skin cancer. And he urges his followers to hashtag wear sunscreen. So I guess if he could give you one piece of advice, I guess Hugh Jackman says.
Ralph.
I'm just saying, if he had to give you one piece of advice, wear sunscreen would be it, I think. Allie, I know that's a cause near and dear to your heart, so you want people to get out of the sun and protect themselves.
I feel like a big dummy that I...
You are a big dummy.
I never wear sunscreen.
Yeah, that's real dumb.
But I'm also not out in the
sun
a lot.
It's Bean. Who is less in danger of sun exposure than the guy who lives like a troll?
That's true, but even driving in your car through the window, that's a problem.
Yeah. Wow, how's it going to be when Bean's in a bag in Death Valley?
That's where
he's headed, so that's going to be bad.
It's just a habit I never picked up. So I guess I should learn something from what Hugh Jackman is trying to tell me.
You should.
Definitely not from me having melanoma and almost dying.
Right.
Definitely
not from your coworker.
Take it from Hugh Jackman.
Who had a serious bout with skin cancer. But
he's
Hugh
a
Jackman,
celebrity.
But if Wolverine tells you to do it.
When he tells you about the, third problem with skin cancer. Because, it's melanoma, then squamous cell, then basal cell. I'm not saying it's not a big deal that he has that, but come on. But
okay.
That's some lightweight BS he's dealing with? Is that what you're saying?
Cut it out.
Allie's like a cancer hipster.
I am.
Yeah.
She was into skin cancer before it was cool.
Really? Basal cell? I was rocking melanoma, bitch.
Right?
I'm hardcore,
got
yo.
14 squamous cells right now.
Yeah, right there.
Suck it with your basal.
Grab my squamous right here.
Are we still talking about skin cancer?
Yes, we are.
Oh. Okay.
And our long national nightmare is over. We have talked about this, but nudity is back in Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have announced in the March-April issue of Playboy that actress Scarlett Byrne will be appearing nude. She starred in the Harry Potter series as Draco Malfoy's friend Pansy Parkinson. Remember her?
I did not see the movie, but I take your word for it that she's a good deal.
She's also been in The Vampire Diaries and Falling Skies, and she is a lovely and talented actress. And she just released a spread of her photos on Instagram and captioned it, "Nude is normal." So, good on you, Scarlett Byrne. By the way, she's also engaged to Hefner's son, Cooper, who is now the editor of the magazine. So I'm sure they're unrelated. They're unrelated. Nude is normal.
Yeah.
Ralph, can you confirm, Playboy was always the mildest of the nude magazines anyway, but can you confirm that even with the new policy of nudity coming back, it's just boobs and butt? They're not going to be showing as much, even full frontal, as they once did. Have you heard that as well?
It's artsy-fartsy stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
But they're not going to do any of that airbrushed, heavily made-up, legendary sort of playmate photography anymore. Now they're shooting for natural settings and natural girls.
That's better, because they look like mannequins before.
Which was right up your alley. If you just put a couple servos in them, you would think they'd be your dream girls.
Well, if they were sex robots, now we're talking.
All you want is robot sex. So mannequins, how far removed is that? Today's celebrity birthdays, rapper, actor Ice-T. Ice-T celebrates his 59th birthday today. Elizabeth Olsen. Speaking of the X-Men, or Avengers, or whatever she was Scarlet Witch, an Avenger. Yeah, 28 years old today. And the singer, The Weeknd. Weeknd celebrates his 27th. I'm sorry, what?
Just Weeknd.
Do you know how to spell Weeknd?
I do. He doesn't.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But, you spell it The Weeknd, you get The Weeknd.
All right, fair enough.
That was the old saying in my neighborhood.
Yeah?
Yep. Before we even knew we'd have to use it, we used to say that. You spell it The Weeknd, you get The Weeknd. 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Less than 1 hour from right now, our friend Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park will be here with a brand new Linkin Park song called Heavy. Looking forward to that. Not only will we be talking to Mike, but we're going to be Facebook Live-ing it as well. She can actually look at him.
Great news.
That sounded zoo-like to say you can look at him.
It is zoo-like.
You can join us to experience the interview yourself on Facebook Live. So that'll be coming up on K-Rock. First, though, 1-800-520-1067 right now. We're looking for wrestling fans. We got a pair of tickets to WWE Live at the Long Beach Entertainment Center coming up on Sunday and WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center on Monday night. What are we? What kind of fans are we looking for this time around, Ms. Allie McKay?
I would say if you know a lot about the current wrestlers, ones that you will see on Sunday and Monday, maybe you know when they're going to come out to wrestle. Maybe you know immediately that it's that wrestler.
Oh.
Know what I'm saying?
That sounds like a musical hint.
Maybe it is.
Okay.
Maybe it is. But don't be like, oh, wow, I know Hulk Hogan's theme. It's real American. I don't want that.
Yeah, we're talking about
the
current stars that you're going to be seeing this weekend.
All
right, so if that's you and you want to be part of this great WWE weekend, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Yesterday after the show, I brought up a podcast that I have just recently been introduced to called the Sleep With Me podcast. And the shriek that came out of Allie's mouth when I mentioned the shriek. Now, I couldn't talk to her about it yesterday because she refuses to speak with me unless she's being paid and we weren't on the air. So I had to save it for today.
It's true.
Why the visceral reaction when I mentioned the Sleep With Me podcast?
So I have bouts of insomnia. And I was having a real bad few weeks. And a friend of mine said, hey, I listened to this podcast and it really does calm me down. It's just, maybe it's something that'll work for you. But warning, other friends I've introduced this to have not talked to me again. I'm like, what could be so bad about this podcast? And then I listened to it, and I had the exact opposite of wanting to sleep. I wanted to murder this guy.
You wanted to murder him,
yes.
Like I said, I didn't know about it until recently, and I had the same reaction to him, is I wanted to find out where he lives. His name is Drew Ackerman. He goes by Scooter on the podcast. And he is 500 episodes in on the Sleep With Me podcast. And what's remarkable to me about it is that I don't know how long it is. It looks like it's probably about an hour and a half. I don't know. No one's ever gotten to the end of it. I assume you either go to sleep or you drive yourself crazy listening to it. But it's an hour and a half, 500 episodes worth of him just telling the most boring, rambling stories you've ever heard in your life in a way that, to me, and maybe it's just because we do this job and we're used to having to be on point as much as we try to anyway. And, you know, we're very limited patience with callers that don't get to the point. And this guy, the whole intention of this podcast is to ramble.
Yeah.
He's trying to get you to not be interested in what he's saying, and he's very successful at that.
Yes, very little inflection to the voice, just very droning, makes you want to maybe stab yourself in the face.
Yes, I'm glad we're giving these disclaimers because I'm about to play some of Scooter's podcast here, and I want to make sure you know, you're wide awake. You got that coffee, you got the window down, whatever you need to do to make sure no one falls asleep behind the wheel. But apparently there's big business in these sorts of podcasts. His is the only one that is essentially for adults, bedtime stories, I guess is what you might call it. There's a bunch of them for kids. People have used a peaceful noise playlist is one thing that's called, where they just put together like soothing sounds. There's also white noise podcasts that some people find helpful to try to go to sleep to. And then there's that whole category of the ASMR. And we've talked about those before. Those are the whisper people that basically
can't
fall asleep.
No.
So there's those too. But this is the only guy doing what he does. And it was so hard for me to pull a clip because, you know, usually you go to something for audio and you're, well, what's the most interesting part? There's none of it that's interesting.
Oh, man.
So let's enjoy. He's talking about what he's going to be doing on the podcast. And he's talking about, in this particular episode, he's talking about an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and something that a doctor said on the show. And it just gets him to just ramble about that. Let's hear a little bit of Scooter.
Unbelievable episode with Dr. Crusher. And during the day, you probably want to watch it at some point. Tonight you say, well, it was a little bit like a delusion in a dream. No, is there a physical... This podcast, I don't know if there needs to be a physical, measurable something to it. Yeah, but this, you know, phenomenon.
Are you already out?
You know, cause you can you measure delusion? Because if you could, I don't have a lot of world records. In fact, I have zero. But if you were measuring, you say, what's the world record for a stack of delusion within one's brain? Okay, you say, hey, this does happen when I call Guinness, you know, the world record hotline.
What?
Well, luckily, someone rerouted it to someone that I pay. It's still 1-900. Is it still 1-900 number? It's still getting billed for this 1-900 Guinness World Records.
And it's so stream of consciousness that every time he thinks of something that takes him off into another direction, rather than do what the natural impulse as a human is to try to get your audience to remain interested, you avoid that and stay on the road, right? This guy just goes off in every possible direction, and it doesn't matter how long it takes because, again, the whole point of the podcast is to make you fall asleep.
Right.
But I had the same reaction you did, Allie, which is I just wanted to stab him.
Or myself. I just wanted anything to end. I wasn't sure what.
I insist we hear some more, though.
Yeah, but I call up and I say, okay, how about number of synapses involved in a delusion? I think I got that one. They said, well, how many? I say, all my synapses. How many synapses does a human brain have? And they say, sir, we're not sure. You know what? Are you sure that you have synapses in your brain? I said, well, I don't know. They're all occupied, you know, maintaining my delusions.
Does he have a speech impediment, or what's going on there? Where it seems like he's like kind of stutter step a little bit.
I think there's many different accents at play. Like sometimes there's a Minnesota, sometimes like an upstate New York, and then it all interweaves.
He's very mysterious.
Yeah, he is.
Scooter. How does he have enough to talk about every day to sit down and do 90 minutes of this, though, by himself?
I feel like maybe he's not interacting a lot with humans other than this.
This could be it for
he
him.
He saves it all up.
That's very possible.
And then I heard the pencils, and I said, why is your pencil moving? And they said, well, because you said, at first you called about one delusion, and then you said delusion, so... And they said, well, who qualifies then? And they said, who's that person you consider your nemesis?
I'm telling you, we start a rival Sleep With Me podcast and Beer Mug hosts it.
That's a great idea.
I think we get a piece of this business.
Sure.
Look, we've all had conversations with Beer Mug where we feel exactly like we feel when we listen to this dude, right?
Absolutely.
It's time to do it. All right. We'll be right back. Give away those tickets next on K-Rock. Jim Rome on sports. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program today and brand new music from Incubus and from Linkin Park. It's a pretty cool day here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Right now, we're going to hook you up, you wrestling fans, with a great weekend. WWE Live at the Long Beach Entertainment Center Sunday. WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center on Monday night. This time, the game is called Game of Themes.
Game of Themes, 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 Game of Themes.
Oh, my goodness.
WWE Game of Themes, Game of Themes, Game of Themes.
Okay.
Just guess the wrestler's name. Game of Themes,
right.
Game of Themes, Game of Themes.
Oh, yeah, Game of Themes, brother.
Game of Themes, it is indeed. Miss Allie McKay, you are hosting today. I think I know what's going on here, but why don't you explain before we go to the callers?
We're
going to
play you a clip of what would be a wrestler's theme, the music that they come out to, that they exit to. If you know the current roster of wrestlers, I think this should be pretty easy for you. So we'll play the clip and you just tell us who the wrestler is.
Now, do they use like pop and hip hop songs like they do for UFC or no? They
have their own? Yeah, most are pretty metal. But
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
you'll get it.
All right. Well, we'll take them in order. We'll start in East Los. Al is up first. He's on line one. Al, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You ready to play Game of Themes?
Yes, I'm ready.
Are you listening? Okay.
Yes, I'm ready.
Is everyone there ready?
He's okay. Got a team, man.
Kids are.
Okay, Al, here's your theme.
I want to say Bray Wyatt?
No. Would it help if I booed over the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was Roman Reigns. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
That's
thank you,
okay.
Al. Appreciate it. Sorry to let you and the whole team down. Let's go to Art. He's up next, line two. Hey, Art.
Hi. How are you doing? Hi, Abby.
Hey, Art.
Roman Reigns sucks.
You got the first one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because as soon as you hear it, you just, boo! Roman sucks. Exactly. You're with me, Art. All right. Here is yours. It is I Came to Play.
Awesome!
I came to play! There's a price to pay! Tough for you to get down!
Yeah, he's got it.
He's got it. Excellent, Art.
You are in the drawing. Stand by. Santa Ana, Raphael, line three, up next.
How you doing, Raphael?
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I'm great, thanks.
Okay, I can't give you the name of the song because it gives it away, but it might be my favorite.
Is that a wrestler from 1998? What's happening?
It's
that's what it sounds like.
Do you know what it is?
Is it Big E?
No, it's New Day.
Oh, it is a New Day. All right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
He confirmed your answer, Allie, that it is in fact New Day. I'm glad he had that. You had your back on that. We're playing. If you're just joining us, we're playing Game of Themes.
Game of Themes. Game of Themes. Game of Themes.
Giving away tickets for a great WWE weekend. Our next contestant is in Ontario. He is Eric on line four.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Hi, Allie. How you doing?
Are you doing okay with these?
Good, yeah. I got them all right, so let's hopefully it keeps going.
Okay, I feel good about this one. It is called Worlds Apart.
Is Sami Zayn, formerly
it
El Generico.
It is.
The man knows his wrestlers. Very impressive, Eric. All right, hold on. You're one step closer to winning the prize. Let's try Pomona's Junior up next. Line 5. Don't talk to a lot of juniors on the show very often. All right, here's Allie. Good luck.
Junior, are you actually a junior?
Yeah.
Okay. What if you weren't? That would be weird, right?
It would be.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop talking about this. All right, this one is called The Game. Who is the wrestler?
Time to play the game.
Triple H.
I mean, yeah, they don't even need to hear it.
Yeah, he knew it was Triple H. All right,
excellent.
Very impressive. Good work. I know I said this yesterday. Very impressed with the knowledge of our wrestling fans.
Absolutely.
They know their guys. All right, let's go to Alex Whittier, line 6.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you doing with these?
Got them all so far.
Awesome. Okay, this one should be pretty easy, too. It is a song called Retaliation.
I like that.
Oh, crap.
Oh, Alex.
Come on, Alex.
Seth Rollins?
No. That's Dean Ambrose.
All right. Thank you for playing, though. We've got time for one more. This is going to be Alicia Beaumont, line 7.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, Alicia. Morning. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. This one is called Phenomenal.
Oh, dang it. Neville?
No. That one was AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
Come on, let's go out with one more.
All right.
All right, but
you know our motto on this show.
I will say this one I put in because I wasn't sure how people would do. This one should be very easy, and maybe I kind of strayed from the current roster.
All right. Let's. So Chris is the lucky man, then.
Yes.
He gets the bonus question. All right, Chris in Pasadena, good luck.
Thank you.
Daniel Bryan. There you go.
Yes,
Daniel Bryan. All right, Chris, Jr., Eric, Art, all in the running to win the tickets for the great weekend WWE Live at Long Beach Entertainment Center Sunday, Monday Night Raw at Staples Monday. Who is our winner, please?
The winner is Eric.
Yay!
Eric, way to be, man. Way to be. Thank you for listening.
Hi, thank you, guys.
Have a great time this weekend. Let us know how it goes. We appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you, Allie, and thank you for playing Game of Themes.
Game of Themes, Game of Themes, Game of Themes.
6. Nice. I forgot about that part of the song. I didn't remember that ended like that.
Does now.
It's good.
I love that part.
6:53 Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the voice of our good friend Ralph Garman with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
There's a Taylor Swift lookalike in Kansas. So similar that she has garnered 70,000 Instagram followers who think she's the real Taylor Swift.
I got to tell you. She looks more like Taylor Swift than any other Taylor Swift person I've seen. And I think it's not just the, you know, like the hair and makeup that she's doing and the cats that she puts in her photos. I think it's her face. I think her face really looks a lot like her.
Did you get Instagram just to follow her?
I mean, I like to stay
close. Do you follow her?
I don't follow her. But I've been keeping up on the articles about her.
I find it interesting.
I find it interesting.
I'm interesting.
She looks so much like her, though.
Why is that interesting?
I don't know. Just because you don't usually see people who look so close to another person. That's
but it's not. You can look at pictures of the real person still, right?
I still do that, too, but there aren't enough of those.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
70,000 followers on Instagram. Coincidentally, that's one for every time Taylor Swift has been dumped by someone.
How so dare you?
That's crazy that she
has
that
hurtful.
Many. That's a lot.
That's hurtful is what that is.
Followers for her.
Oh, wow. I just looked her up.
Right?
Good Lord.
I mean, seriously.
You two can burn.
No,
right
she
now.
Looks just
I
like
understand
her.
It. She looks like somebody.
It's she should have a lot
clear.
Of followers.
It's really crystal clear what's should, happening.
She should have a ton of followers for that. Even takes pictures in... signature cozy sweaters.
Uh-huh. Same lipstick. Same cat.
These are the end times.
Hey, you brought it up, Mr. Man.
Because I can't believe anyone was dumb enough to care about a girl who looks like somebody else. That was the point. No, I should have known.
You don't know your audience.
I find her interesting.
I do.
Because she looks like someone. Holy crap. Rachel Lindsay is the new Bachelorette. And the producers say she is the perfect Bachelorette for one reason. Before appearing on The Bachelor, she had never seen an episode of the show.
No kidding.
Her co-workers signed her up for the casting call.
You're kidding.
Interesting.
And they knew she was single, and they thought she was terrific, so they signed her up and talked her into going down for the interview, and that's how she ended up being on the show. She said, of course, she was aware of the program, but she had never seen an episode before and never really had that much interest in it.
And this woman is a lawyer. Like, she's got her life handled.
She is. She's the real deal.
Wow.
And she was fortunate enough to not be picked by that drip Nick, right?
Well, we assume.
We assume, right.
What if she was picked and then she said at the end, no thanks, not going to marry you.
That's what I said. Conspiracy Alley thought maybe this is all your way of saying, oh, she's done, whatever. Maybe she gets to the end and Nick's like, I don't know, I can't do it. And then they make her the Bachelorette.
Can I hear your Nick again, please?
I don't know, I can't do it.
Did he have a stroke sometime during the last few episodes?
I just listened to the clips you play and he is awful.
I think Nick has a great eye. He's very...
Is it that different?
He's a very sensitive fellow. He cries a lot.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. But everyone's looking forward to seeing her when the show premieres on May 22nd. So, really, one on top of the other. In life and also in The Bachelor.
They should get that that girl looks like Taylor Swift to be one of the contestants on the next Bachelor.
God. The worst. Amanda Bynes wants the world to know she's not pregnant. Oh, thank God. Amanda Bynes. You still following her, too, Bean? You interested in her?
What has she been up to, by the way? I mean, I hope she's healthy and happy, but we haven't heard
of her. She's taking fashion classes or something in New York last I heard. Yeah. Anyway, someone apparently impersonating her on Twitter claimed that she was pregnant and engaged, and Amanda had to come out and ask Twitter to please remove the account. And it looks like they finally did. But don't buy into those fake Amanda Bynes accounts.
Mm-mm.
Only buy the real deal. I'm sure Bean can send you in the right direction.
Wow, this is pretty serious. I'm on her Twitter account right now, and she's talking about, you know, that this person got into her private Instagram and is continuing to impersonate her and harass her. She's trying to get Amanda's trying to get Twitter to help her out.
Maybe she just looks like Amanda Bynes and
there you
a lot
go.
Of followers because some people find her interesting.
I'm not married. I'm not pregnant. I don't understand why Twitter won't take this account down. Sounds like a struggle.
I thought that was a story I just did.
But I'm saying it just did sad.
Oh, you're saying it's real because you looked it up.
No, but reading it from Amanda, it sounds like it's been very frustrating for her. Twitter needs to do more, by the way, to clamp down on this sort of abuse, don't they?
Sure. Hey, Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage again for another special Saturday Night Hollywood Babylon. We had a huge crowd show up last Saturday, so we're doing it again. Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose, 10 p.m. It's Hollywood Babylon. It's me. It's Kevin Smith. We have a really good time, and we'd love to have you join us. You can go to improv.com, click on Hollywood, and then there's all the details, and you can get your tickets there as well. So this is the last babble for a couple weeks. So if you want to come on out and join us, we'd love to see you there. Today's celebrity birthdays. The singer The Weeknd celebrates his 27th birthday. Actress Elizabeth Olsen is 28. Who'd think that Elizabeth would be the most famous Olsen sister?
Right?
Right?
Back in the day when they were like...
Not the richest.
No, they're the richest. Crazy rich. But she's the Scarlet Witch. That's pretty cool. She's 28 years old today. Rapper and actor Ice-T celebrates his 59th birthday. All those stars born on today, February 16th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The next song we play here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ this morning is the brand new song from Linkin Park, and it is called Heavy. And the man in the next room who's going to bring it into us is named Mike Shinoda from the band Linkin Park. So that is straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Our friends from Incubus join us next hour with their new song as well. This is a very exciting day, isn't it, Allie?
A lot going on.
I mean, I feel I'm enjoying this. I'm excited about this. I feel good about this. Happy
I'm glad you're not mad they're coming.
I am delighted, in fact. First, though, we got to take care of this business. Look, Harrison Ford, God bless him, he's a national treasure. He's 74 years old. He's mother effing Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
Sure.
So I don't want anything bad to ever happen to him. I know that he loves to fly. He's been flying a plane for decades and decades and decades, and he loves it. I get that. Again, he's 74 years old, and I feel like twice in like a year we've had incidences where we go, I'm not sure if Grandpa needs to still be behind the wheel of a plane.
Yeah, and by instances, the last one was he had to crash land.
Yes, he crashed landed on the golf course last year. Yeah. Now, that could have been some sort of mechanical trouble. He could have been. And by the way, he got a lot of credit at the time for being an outstanding pilot and expertly landing that plane to where he and nobody else got hurt.
Right.
So you give him a lot of credit there. This incident on Monday, though, is a little harder to explain away. This seems like it was a little bit of a senior moment. He's flying his plane trying to land at John Wayne Airport, which is, as you know, a very big and very busy airport. And for some reason, he screws up and lands on a taxiway, flying immediately over an American Airlines jet that was preparing to take off. Now, a lot of people are looking at this from the outside going, look, if you're a pilot, particularly one with as much experience as Harrison Ford has, you know that that's wrong.
Yeah. That does not look like a runway. Something's off.
It's clear that what you need to do in that case is abort landing,
right.
Go around again and maybe get some clarification from, you know, from ground control.
Yeah.
Because you don't just land essentially on top of a plane on a taxiway. So the FAA is investigating, and experts seem to believe that there will be some sort of punishment. Otherwise, it makes it look like they're just giving him preferential treatment because he's a famous person. But I don't know what you do in a situation like that. Does he have to go in for more training? Do they suspend his license for a certain amount of time? I don't know. But we wanted to find out from the man himself. He doesn't do a lot of interviews, but we are lucky enough to occasionally get Harrison Ford on the phone, and he can maybe tell us what happened, shed some light on this incident, and find out what's going to go on going forward. Harrison, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing fine. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you feeling? Are you still a little bit shaken up about what happened on Monday?
Nah, no big deal.
No big deal? Okay.
Where are you right now, Harrison?
Flying my plane.
No.
You're in a plane right now while you're doing a radio interview?
Yeah.
Should we do this some other time? Is this a bad time?
No.
All right, we don't want to distract you from the important business of flying a plane, though.
I've got to land. I'm landing now. So.
Okay.
You're landing right now.
Maybe we should wait.
What's happening?
Is that circus meant to be underneath me?
Okay. Pull up. You shouldn't be near that circus. That's not a runway.
Shouldn't have landed on a circus.
No. Definitely not.
All right, I'm going to land over here then.
Okay.
Is that ocean meant to be underneath me?
Okay, don't land there.
Don't land in the water.
You're not Sully.
There's no need for that. Can't you find a runway or something, Harrison?
Yeah, there's one over there.
Okay, good. I'll feel better if you get down safe.
Oh, no, are there babies on the runway?
Is that nursery meant to be underneath me?
No!
No, it should only be a runway. Maybe check with air traffic control.
I'll see what's over here. Herd of elephants supposed to be underneath me?
Harrison, you've got to be more careful.
Oh, God. I'll just land over here.
He's having a lot of trouble finding a spot to bring it down.
Is that Las Vegas casino supposed to be underneath me?
Okay, don't land on top of a casino. What's happening?
It's a cheer squad.
The cheerleaders supposed to be underneath.
Nope. Again, you're just looking for a runway here, Harrison.
Oh, those cheerleaders are hot.
Okay, that's not the. Whoa.
Oh, Harrison.
What?
Ouch.
There it is, the long-awaited brand-new music from Linkin Park. That is called Heavy. We're going to play it again in a minute. I have so many questions, and I know you do, too. But first, let's welcome this guy to the show.
What's up? This is Rob.
This is Brad.
And Joe. From
Linkin Park.
What up? This is Mike Shinoda.
This is Chester from Linkin Park.
Linkin Park.
December.
All I do
quite a career, right? He is a founding member of one of the biggest K-Rock bands of all time, our friend Mike Shinoda, back in studio.
Hey.
Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Mike.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you this morning.
Okay, thanks for stopping by.
All right, bye.
We're out of time. Too much intro.
Oh, my God.
I love watching faces of people when they hear their music back. It was a grimace, a smile, and a please make it end all at the same time.
Such a long intro.
Are you wishing some of those songs were not in the montage?
No, I love all the. I mean, like, it's funny because we, you know, with every album, you guys have lived through this with us. Like, with every album, we take a lot of risks, and sometimes they sound really different. And, you know, this new album is one of them. And we've done that before where we play new music and everyone goes, whoa, that's so different from what I expected.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you do a montage of them next to each other and they sound, and sometimes it sounds a little crazy.
Well, it doesn't sound like the same band.
I mean,
that's the thing about it.
I promise you this, like when you come to the show, we work really hard to create an experience where you don't have that feeling of it being jarring. Like we work... You know, one step closer into the same. Like right now, we were working, you know, all those songs that you just played and all of our other singles, and we're working them into the set together and the new stuff too. And it doesn't sound crazy when you put them in certain orders.
Yes. You know? Understood.
Yeah.
What is it about Linkin Park, do you think, that makes you guys so musically restless?
I mean, that was our mission statement from day one, you know? I mean, Hybrid Theory was actually the name of the band. So. That's been our philosophy, and I don't think it's a – I think it's built into the way we, like, listen to music. You know, I think – and by the way, the modern music listener is kind of the same. Like, we have different moods, and we want to hear different things at different times. And I think it's really apparent on the new song and the new album, like, those – all that stuff that we like and we listen to kind of just works its way into the track.
Well, a lot of listeners are already responding. And by the way, let me just say as an aside, when we put on social media that you were coming in today with the new song, I don't think there's a band in the world today that has a bigger social media presence than you guys, at least in the rock world anyway. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and so many fan clubs from so many countries all over the world just revved up and ready to go for today. I mean, you're obviously aware of that, but it must just be bizarre to see some of these countries that weigh in with every move you make.
Well, we are like... almost like perceived different ways when we're on in different places. So like in the US, I can go to the grocery store and I went to the movies recently and the guy behind the counter is like, Mike Shinoda? Like he's like, oh, cool, man. You know, here's a voucher for like $1 off your popcorn.
Sweet.
And we get off the plane in like Russia and people are bum rushing the plane and like freaking out and screaming like the Beatles. Like it's a different, you know, it's different each place we go, but and I actually prefer like living in LA and getting that LA.
Yeah, a little more low key existence. Yeah, yeah, of course.
And you guys know that. But we'll see what happens with the new music. It's like, you know, this music is very like one thing that we did, like our last album was a little more like for the core. Like it was a very heavy and loud album. This one is kind of the opposite. It's kind of a more accessible record, and that wasn't necessarily like the whole intention, but we went into each song basically talking about like normally we would write a track first and we would write like you know it'd be beats and music and guitar and piano and things like that, and then we'd see what vocals that track inspired. And this album we actually did the opposite. We walked in the room, we started with lyrics and melody, and when you start with lyrics it's a whole different thing, because you walk in and you say, what's on my mind today? Like you ever, I mean, you guys do that, because you come in and you've got to talk about that stuff, like, oh, I just watched this, or this just happened to me at home, like, oh my God, we had a leak and like everything, my drywall's falling off, like that's real stuff.
Oh, I want to hear that song. Yeah. I want to hear the song about the drywall.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the actually, drywall song.
This is a very, that's what's really funny is that in part, like, so Heavy is a song, the one you guys just played.
And we'll play again in a moment, by the way. If you're just joining us, this is the voice of Mike Shinoda, Linkin Park. We just played brand new music from them that's coming right up, and you can be watching this interview on Facebook Live. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, so Heavy is a song that we wrote with, like, it's a kind of when it rains, it pours. Like, when you have one of those times when it's like, okay, I've got something big going, like, you know, my somebody I know passed away, or my parents found out my parents are sick, or something big like that. And that on its own would be super It's a lot to deal with. Mm-hmm. But then on top of it, like, you're opening up Twitter and you're reading your news feed and you're kind of stressed out. I have kids. Like, some of us have kids, like, and then stuff's going on with the kids. And, like, and then you open the cabinet and you're trying to get some cereal and you've got ants. Like, and they're in all of your food. And it's the stupidest little thing. It's really not a big deal. But that's the thing that sets you off.
That's
like,
the straw that
broke. I've had it! Yeah. That's enough!
Yes.
But that's one of the mornings we had. I remember we came into the studio to write one day, and Chester came in and was like, "Hey, man, how you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I'm fine." And anybody, if Chester says, "I'm fine," you know that something else is going on.
It's like
on.
Every chick that says she's fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, he's like, "No, yeah, I'm fine." And then, like, 20 minutes later, we're still kind of getting into, like, what do you want to write about? And he's like, "Okay, you know what? I am not fine."
The song is called Heavy, but it is certainly not heavy musically, and that's what you've been warning us that this would sound different from almost any Linkin Park song we've ever heard before. I mean, would you go so far as to say it's a pop song?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I different people have been reacting to it different ways. Like, when I listen to it, I'd say, like, I tweeted, I should say that I was seeing reactions from fans about the idea of what our first single could sound like. So in other words, like, every time we say, "Hey, we have a new single," people start like, "Oh, well, it's going to be this and it's going to be that." Right. Well, I heard him say this and this is what it's going to sound like. And so, and I just got kind of, at one point I was just like, God, so many of these are so off base. And I actually, for me, I don't even know what to call the genre. And a friend of mine at one point had made this shirt that said "Genre is dead." And so I just tweeted that. I just tweeted "Genre is dead." And, like, it got so many favorites and retweets and stuff, and the fans kind of responded to me saying, like, yeah, that's what it's about. Like, me too. I feel that way too. And I feel like this album is kind of like that. Like, the place where we started, as you guys know, in the beginning of our career, we were mixing genres that people hadn't heard mixed a certain way. Mm-hmm. And now it's almost like the zeitgeist has come around that in a way, and it's done things like other artists have done things with it that we never did. And that, to me, rather than being like, to me, that's super inspiring. Like, I love that. And I know that we can take it a step further. And hopefully we did with the album that we made.
There have not been a lot of successful bands that combine rap and rock like yours do that have lasted as long as yours have. And you're right. It has spun off into other forms that other people are doing. And yeah, I mean, Linkin Park played a big part in that. That's for sure. Heavy features a singer named Kiara that I know you are a big fan of. And I remember you tweeting about her at the end of the year. She had one of your favorite songs. Let me play just a little clip of the song that a lot of people, I think it got, you know, tens of millions of YouTube views last year from Kiara. It's called Gold. So was that your introduction to Kiara?
Yeah, and as you know, I love finding new music. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always I tend to listen to that more than I listen to stuff that is, like, kind of, like, more popular or whatever. But I still listen to popular stuff too. But I love finding new stuff that I can tell somebody, like, "Oh man, I know you haven't heard this song."
Yeah, it's like finding a nugget.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What was it about her though that seemed so exceptional to you that you would then take the next step of reaching out to work together?
Well, I could hear in that song, like that one in particular, I could tell that it was almost like a demo style, like, approach. Like, there's something really, almost like a sketch about it, like the way she approached it. And then they took that and they chopped it up and made a song out of it, rather than, like, writing a song where you go, okay, here's the verse and here's the chorus and here's my point. Like, there was this stream of consciousness thing going on about it. That was so cool. And this guy named Felix produced the track, and I thought his style is very, you know, minimalist and cool. Almost like the way, you know, Lorde's music can be, but at the same time, his is a little more hip hop. Based. Like, it's a little more trap influence and stuff.
She is, am I wrong about this, Mike, 18 years old?
I think she's 20. 21.
Oh, she's, a, oh, all right.
I'm assuming, yeah, a lot older.
she's ready to retire is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think
my point was, though, that she is young enough to have not known a world without Linkin Park.
Yeah,
and I was just wondering if that conversation ever happened where she's like, "Oh, my parents were really into you," or anything like that.
Oh, we had some really funny – well, because she hung out of the studio a few times, and yeah, definitely, like, there were some times when we got on – like, we were talking, like, musical references or just, "Oh, you remember this song, remember that." And I knew, like, as soon as I looked over here, I'm like, oh yeah, you didn't know any of this stuff. Like, but she, what's cool, what I love, we actually on this album, like on all the rest of our albums, we wrote everything. We had a producer to kind of like come in and like keep like a high level, like bird's eye view and make sure that, like, you know, we were doing all the things that we wanted to do with our record. And this album is actually, we kind of did the opposite where we took the, Brad and I produced it. So we took the producer role and we still led the writing, but we actually brought in other people that we admire to work on songs with. And some of the folks that we worked with, and they're not like names that anybody would recognize. Like some of them, they've written songs for all over the place, like from like Adele and Florence and the Machine and Lana Del Rey to like Bieber and like Selena Gomez. Like it's way
any
all
names
over the place.
We'd know.
Well, okay, on this, as far as that's the people they've written for, though. But like the people, like Heavy, for example, we wrote with Justin Tranter and Julia Michaels. You probably know Julia. Julia's now, she put out her first single. But it was me and Brad and Chester and Justin and Julia, and they're like in some cases, like Julia, I don't know how old she is, but I know she's probably around Kiara's age. And for me, it's like super fun. Like I don't like when you're in there with them, like I'm not seeing, oh, like that age doesn't like really come up unless you're talking about, oh, do you remember that Wu-Tang song? And they're like, what's Wu-Tang? You know, that's the only time when that shows up. But other than that, we're all just in the mix trying to make a good song. And I think that they bring a freshness and sometimes a naivety that's like exciting.
Yeah.
And then we bring this like more veteran, like, you know, we've been doing this for longer, so we have these ideas that come from working with, you know, Rick Rubin or something that came up when we worked with Jay-Z. Like, it's a very, the dynamic is really cool.
Sure. All right, we got to pause right there. Mike Shinoda is our guest in studio. We just played the new Linkin Park song called Heavy. We're going to play it again after a very short break. I want Diana to hang on, even though it's costing her a fortune. She's on the line from Romania, and she wants to ask her question.
She's been holding for 12 minutes.
And we're going to let her on, and when we come back, we'll talk about the new album, what it's called, when it comes out, what 2017 is looking like. It's so exciting to have Linkin Park, one of our all-time favorites, back on the radio on K-Rock, and we'll return more with Mike right after this on K-Rock. That's a brand new Linkin Park. Once again, the song is called Heavy on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Mike Shinoda hand-delivered that to us this morning. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
I got a bunch more questions about the album, but shall we put poor Diana out of her misery and
oh
let her...
Oh, my gosh. This girl, love. It's like I'm looking at the screen in front of me. It says calling from Romania. This has got to be like a $500 phone call.
And she's been on hold for like 16 minutes, so I do feel terrible. But we had business. We had to take care of. Diana, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. And how are you this morning, my dear?
I'm holding on to this song.
Okay, Diana's the greatest ever. That's amazing. You
know, help me out here. Let's bring Mike in on the loop, because you and I spoke yesterday via the internet, and you told me that you are what, a Linkin Park ambassador? Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that is right. I'm the Linkin Park ambassador in Romania, and I'm proud to represent the band here in this territory.
And what does that mean? What do you do as ambassador?
So we're promoting every release of the band. I personally work here in the country as an artist manager and PR, and I will also take care of the song to get on the radio and the video to hit the TV stations and promote everyone, spread the word about everything Linkin Park releases.
Wow. So, Mike, you've got an army out there around the world, right?
First of all, Diana, thank you so much, because we selected... I want to say it's around 40 ambassadors, and the reason it came up is because we've got this, you know, this worldwide fan base, and in a lot of countries, you know, a lot of the fans, English is not their first language, so we were having a little trouble sometimes. Like if it was something that was really timely, it's like, oh, hey, a new song is coming out like tomorrow, or this like scavenger hunt is happening. Like things are moving quickly, and the fans who wanted to participate didn't speak English, and they're using Google Translate, and it wasn't working right. And so they finally, at one point, I was talking to Lorenzo, who works in our office, and he actually started out as a fan club member, and now he works for the band. We hired him like years ago, and all the fans know him. He's the best. And we were like, I was like, man, do you think there's a way we could get the fans to act as like translators for us, just to like help get over this hump. And he's right. like, yeah. And we came up this with the idea of ambassadors, and we watched. They didn't even know this, but we were watching the fans for a long time. For like
checking their feeds, yeah, everything.
Just like watching, because you notice that certain people are very active and they're responsible and they do the right thing. And then we said, okay, cool. So our first, we reached out to them and said, like Diana, and we said, will you be, you know, our ambassador for your area, and you'll be just basically responsible for like disseminating Linkin Park information and just trying to stick, like trying to translate it and represent it like true to the source.
What an honor to a fan.
Super fun.
That's,
I mean,
huge.
It's like a benefit, like for both ways. Like they get the acknowledgement from the other fans, like, oh, this person's like, you know, we're going to look to them for information. And then, you know, back and forth between us and them, like they're doing us a huge service. We totally appreciate it. Aww.
Diana, how much is this call costing you today? Do you know?
Not too much, because I have 3 minutes with America, so I'm good.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Might be the greatest ever.
Now, did you have a question for Mike before we let you go?
Yes, I have a question, but first of all, I wanted to take advantage of this call and thank Mike for inspiring my career path since I was 11. As a child, I set the goal to work with Linkin Park, later becoming an artist manager NPR here in Romania.
Wow.
And now I feel myself coming closer to my dream, Mike.
Aww.
Because with this ambassador position, it's getting closer. And I promise I won't stop until I accomplish my goal.
That's so cool. And how well spoken is she? Oh, my God.
Wonderful. All right.
Thank
last,
you.
Last thing, quick question. You had something you wanted to ask Mike also, right?
Yes, I would like to know, how does it feel for the band to work with the children of yesterday, us, the ambassadors, Kiara, even Lorenzo and other LP headquarters employees are fans from since childhood of the band, and I would like to know, how does it feel for the band to have now us in their team?
I think for us, we're obviously, as I said, like very appreciative of the help. It's something that's needed for us. We have fans in all over the place, and it's hard for us, or even with a label as big as, you know, for example, like Warner Brothers is, they can't sometimes communicate.
They can't
be
everywhere all the time on the streets, and
right.
Yeah.
So for us, I mean, like I feel like we're just lucky to have you guys, and the love that we get from different places in the world. And we're super appreciative, and thank you so much for you know, helping us translate and spread the word.
Thank you for calling,
Diana.
You're
welcome.
Okay?
I love the song, and congratulations to everyone in the band for the song.
Thank you.
Bye, Diana.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Is she as hot as she sounds, Mike?
Oh, Bean.
I know that's not what we're here for, but come on.
She's just this beautiful, grateful fan, and you had to sully it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
A little dirty.
Hey, listen to this. We're Facebook Living this through K-Rock's Facebook right now. Linkin Park fans around the world from Belgium, Argentina, Italy, Russia, Spain, India, Brazil, Indonesia, Mexico, Turkey, all tuning in.
San Antonio.
And also from San Antonio, as a matter of fact. All right, let's talk details about the album. Now that Heavy is out, that's the first step toward a new record. What can you tell us, Mike?
Well, I'd say, you know, for those, I mean, in general, the reason that we picked Heavy as the first single, one reason is because it's kind of core to the sound of the album. So this isn't like a polka album with one song that sounds like this. Like, this is how the album sounds. So there's that. It's the album is called One More Light, and it's the first time we've actually named an album after one of the songs. So there is a song called One More Light on the album, and it comes out in May. We expect, you know, we're going to have surprises along the way. It's not like going to be just like this song and then like a video and then like until the album. Like, we're going to have other stuff along the way. So just always keep in touch with Linkin Park on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever your favorite social media is.
Is May 19th, is that the date we're looking at?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, May 19th.
Well, then the next question is, though, let me just get this in. People want to know, a tour.
Yeah, so we have tours already set up. We have a lot of tour dates set up around the world. We've already got Latin America, Europe, and Asia set up. The year is not full yet, so we will be announcing other things. And in fact, we'll be playing some things that are not tour dates. We're going to be playing some little satellite things along the way. So just, like I said, like, keep in touch with us on social media.
Let's go back to the Best Buy parking lot where you guys played the K-Rock calendar signing in the year 2000. Do you remember that, Mike? God.
Of course.
That was the first time I think we ever met you in person, maybe.
Probably.
And that was a famous gig in our minds because of how vehemently Chester was vomiting before you guys took the stage that afternoon.
Yeah,
oh no.
Because he was so nervous.
Yeah, he was like, he was... Well, okay, so we had been on the road, like, doing on a tour, and the tour had just wrapped up. We had, I think we had just fired our sound guy and, like, got a new sound guy, and it was a mess. Like,
you were
Things were growing so, it was moving so fast and growing so fast. Like, we had just heard ourselves on the radio. Five of us had grown up, you know, here, listening to radio here, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we're playing a radio show that is a local station, and we're meeting all the DJs, and people are there, and you guys had set up, they had set up the show in a Best Buy parking lot, and we expected it was going to be a few hundred people, and it was like 1,500 people. They were out to the end of the parking lot, over the gate, and out past the gate by like dozens.
I think the police may have closed it down, if I remember correctly.
They were warning, I mean, yeah, no, if they had gotten there... they were warning us, and there was nothing we could do, and we just played and got the hell out of there before they could shut it down. But even if they had, there were literally so many people, and they were so avid that there was nowhere for them to go.
Yeah, no, it was one of those crazy days that I'll always remember working here at K-Rock, and I remember sitting there watching you guys going, these guys, they're never going to play a venue this small again. I mean, this is like, they're so much better than this parking lot.
It was definitely like, it was one of those things that, like, for me, there were things moving so fast that I didn't often get a chance to go, whoa, look where we are right now. Like, this is, you know, it was definitely one of those moments where you look around and go, oh, everything is changing. My life is like changing right now.
And you guys have had so many moments like that over the years where you probably are, you can't even believe what's happened. You know, all you want to do is make music. That's your thing. And it's turned into this life.
Well, I always told people, like, we used to pay to make music. Like, all I was doing is spending money to just have the benefit, like, to have the gear, to have the, like, opportunity to make a song. And so to be on the other side of it is like always we always remember to like check ourselves and say, this is a blessing. We're lucky to do this. And we did that more than ever on this record because, you know, just being at this point in our career, like we could easily just kind of like play the old stuff and tour it and just put it in like neutral, like coast for the rest of our lives.
Well, we love you and always have, and you've always been so good to K-Rock over the years, and I know that we'll see you again as this album unwinds. May 19th, you guys, new Linkin Park is called One More Light. Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming
in,
my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, party people. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday morning at 106.7 KROQ. Is Magic Johnson going to be running the Lakers? We'll talk to Jim Rome about that on sports coming up. Then we've got world premiere music from the band Incubus in our studio. We got Coachella tickets for you at 9 a.m. Got Dr. Drew still to come. This is a lot of show, you guys.
It is. It's a big show.
Hang on. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on Thursday. What's going on?
What's going on with you, man? So many questions about Bean this week.
Something's
really? Going down. I don't know what it is. Something's up.
Something's off a little bit.
First of all, the sign up at the end of that interview. All right, my brother.
Did he Hulk Hogan it?
What? Who are you? Talking to Mike Shinoda, you're like, thanks for coming in, my brother. What are you, Shaft? Who are you? What's
Look,
happening?
I feel very close to Mike
okay.
and that band. And
no
I just,
one says that.
I'm grateful that I consider us, if not friends, certainly friendly. And I was just trying to express that appreciation, that devotion. That's all.
Okay.
I meant it in a complimentary way to say, hey, you know, we're brothers.
All right, Superfly.
I didn't mean it in a dorky way.
Oh, well, too bad.
Nailed it.
Because that's what came across.
Too late aww. about making it a dorky
and
way.
Then he's got this creepy girlfriend in Romania that he's that been
was,
talking to on
yeah,
the internet.
That took a turn.
What's that
yeah,
connection?
Yeah.
How long's that relationship been going on?
I was talking to Diana yesterday.
You know how we communicate on the internet, Diana? That video you sent me, my sister.
She reached out yesterday to ask some questions about whether she could get on with Mike Shinoda or not.
Oh, you said we could work something out. You said we could work out a deal, right?
It wasn't like that at all.
Where's your cam, you asked?
It was just, here's what time and here's the phone number. We'd be delighted if you called in. And I thought it would be a nice treat for her. And it sounded like it was fun for Mike, too. So it was a win-win.
Okay, my brother.
And we're getting married. But, I mean, that's...
right, but other than that, that's completely on the side. I'm
unrelated.
Yeah, okay.
All right, 7:55. What's going on?
My brother. Look cool. let me give out some passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Get Out.
Yay!
Starring our buddy Jordan Peele. Not starring, written and directed by Jordan Peele. Starring Allison Williams and Lakeith Stanfield from Atlanta. This looks awesome, this film. You know who else is in it who I love? Who I haven't seen in too long. Bradley
John
Whitford.
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon.
Is that who's in the movie?
Bradley Whitford.
Oh, Bradley Whitford from
where
West Wing.
Where has he been?
Where has he been?
You know where he has been? I can tell you this. Going off on Josh Molina on Twitter. They get in little Twitter battles. It's amazing.
I think the two of them may have a podcast where they review each episode of the West
Josh
Wing.
Josh does it, and he keeps trying to get Bradley on it, and he keeps saying, F, no. Oh, no, not into it.
Yeah, those guys.
Very funny.
They tease. He says, no way, my brother, he says on the internets. Anyway, so we're doing a special screening at the AMC Burbank on February 21st. You can see it before it's in theaters on the 23rd. If you're one of the callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number get a pair of passes to our screening of Get Out. Nick Cannon, he quit. He quit. America's Got Talent. Won't have it. And you do yourself a favor. Go over to TMZ and read their account of what happened. Your head will explode.
Really?
Because he went on this, he had a comedy special, I put comedy in quotes,
uh-huh.
And went off saying how frustrating it is for him because he's a black man and he wants to say the N-word and everything, but he can't because of the white money he gets from NBC because he's the host of America's Got Talent.
He wants to say the N-word on America's Got Talent?
Yeah, he says he feels frustrated because he can't do all this,
sure.
be his true self.
Okay.
And NBC apparently got cheesed off that he was slamming their program.
Right.
And so they gave him some static about it. And he was so upset that they gave him static about it that he quit.
Huh.
And he said apparently to anyone who will listen, there's a long list of entertainers like Carson and Leno and Letterman who used to make fun of the network on their show.
Yeah, they earned that. They earned that right.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He said, what about Tracy Morgan when he said something about his gay son? NBC let him stay on the air. Anyway, he thinks, this is my favorite part, he said he started to question his own self-worth as an entertainer.
He should.
That's my point.
He should have questioned it from day one.
He said, I thought maybe I was being treated differently from the others because I wasn't as good. You're not!
He was so lucky to have that job.
Yeah, he should be.
Wait till you hear this. What do you think his salary was per season on America's Got Talent?
I'm going to be really mad.
You're going to be furious.
This is going to sicken us, isn't it?
It shouldn't be more than $300,000.
$4.5 million a season for America's Got Talent.
Oh my God!
You watch that show. You know how little he contributes to it.
He can barely read the cue cards.
He's not the draw at all.
It's madness.
You want the judges and you want the contestants. That's all you care about on that show.
You could do it with a voiceover.
Yeah, exactly.
Now taking the stage, you could just do that with a Chiron and a voiceover.
That's unbelievable.
He's an idiot. And he's not as good as the people he mentioned, and he's an ass.
Yeah.
And he's not funny.
Well, now
other
he can
than
say,
that, he's a good guy, my
now
brother.
Now he can say the N-word all he wants, and he
That's
can be
right.
Both.
Now he can work clubs and be his true, authentic self, playing the Dr. Funny Ha-Ha's in Pacoima.
Oh, gosh.
It's a great club.
Is it?
Dr. Funny Ha-Ha's?
Good drinks?
Check it out. All right. Enough of that shenanigans. Speaking of comedy clubs, Saturday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage once again to do Hollywood Babylon. It's our last one for a couple weeks, so if you'd like to come out and join us, we'd love to have you. You can go to improv.com and click on Hollywood, and you can find out more info and get your tickets there.
No.
Rodney! Rodney, my brother!
It sounds like you thought about it.
I thought we were going to be there together. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ice-T is 59 years old today, Elizabeth Olsen's 28. And The Weeknd celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a fun morning happening here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Minutes away from the band Incubus stopping by, bringing their brand new song to world premiere here on K-Rock. Looking forward to that. First, though, our friend Jim Rome back on the line. Jim Rome's Daily Jungle is the podcast. If you miss any or all of his three-hour daily 9 to noon show at jimrome.com, just get the podcast on his website or play.it and iTunes. Mr. Rome, sir, welcome back. How are you?
Incubus, Calabasas. Hi, baby. 818 for life. Hashtag Ventura Boulevard. I love it. Love it.
Jim, how you been? What's going on, dude?
What's up? I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Bean, what's up? How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, too. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. You know, it's weird. I feel like in some ways we're kind of in the dead zone of sports. We always get that that letdown after football is done. But there is a lot going on. And I want to know from you, because your ear is pretty close to the ground, especially when it comes to UFC stuff. This Conor and Floyd fight, it's all just nonsense talk. There's no chance it will ever happen, right?
100%. Anyway, where the hell is Kevin?
He is out yesterday and today. A medical issue. He'll be back tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Just checking. All right. So the biggest question in all sports right now is, will Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight? Except, guys, Conor is working on something much bigger than that fight. TMZ Sports noted that he sat down with GQ during a recent trip to L.A. and was asked what he was doing while he was in town. And he said, and I quote, "Maybe I'll search for Khloe Kardashian's big fat ass."
Yeah!
End quote. Yay. He's in town. That's a quote. Searching for Khloe's big fat ass.
Now, what's he going for there? Because if he has a crush on her, that's not the way to impress her.
I don't think he does. I think he just wants to see, quote, her big fat ass. Because then he added, "She's been floating around Malibu. I don't give a bleep about them. I just like to see them in the flesh. Just see what the big fat asses on them look like." That so he is- doubled down on that.
What's his end game here? Like, what does he gain by throwing shade at the Kardashians?
Let's go ahead and figure that out. So he must admire them, right? On some level, he must admire them. He said, quote, "Admire, never. What's the saying? Never put the pea on a pedestal, my friend. I just want to see it. I want to see them." So I don't know. I don't think he's about fighting Floyd Mayweather right about now. I think he's about seeing her big fat ass, quote unquote.
This is very classy.
It is. Right. Yeah. Look, he's the greatest smack talker in all of sports right
now. Well, you two are usually pretty hard to offend. I'm surprised you're that offended by that.
No, I'm not offended. It's just, what's the
it's
end
just weird
with him?
Yeah.
And stick to the fights.
Okay, well,
why are you picking a fight with Khloe Kardashian? Who cares?
I don't think he's picking a fight. I think he really just wants to see it. Now, in terms of the fight itself, he did get around to that. As for Floyd, Conor said, quote, "Honestly, my fist is bigger than his head. I sleep people. I put people unconscious. If I crack that little head of his, it's going to go clean off his shoulder and up into the bleachers." So he still has that in him. He's still one of my favorite athletes. Guys, I'm just trying to figure out what I like better, him sleeping people or the fact that he's in town to search for Khloe's big fat ass.
Do you think that fight will ever happen?
No.
Truly.
No.
I mean, never.
What's the advantage?
You guys want me off that Khloe topic, don't you?
No, well, I just curious, want to know what you think about
no,
it. Because
no, I don't think.
I'd Allie. Love to see it.
Why?
I would just love to see it and have Conor kind of sneak it up on him, and then Floyd Mayweather.
But I don't understand it. Look, Conor has something to brag about if he beats another dude, you know, that he's, you know, that's impressive, because he's already got the two belts and now he beats a boxer. Great. I don't get what's in it for Floyd. He doesn't need the money, right? He's already retired. What would be the point of him putting even a tiny part of his legacy on the line for something that doesn't mean anything or matter?
Because it's the money. It's the money. Look, first of all, this thing is not going to happen. I would say that when you have that much money at stake, never say never. But it's not going to happen. Number one, Conor's under contract to the UFC. Dana White's going to sign off on this, and I don't think that he will. And number two, Floyd's never, ever going to agree to MMA rules. And if they box, Conor has no chance of winning whatsoever. The only reason to do something like this is for stacks and stacks and stacks of money. But I don't think even that's enough. It's not going to happen. That's why we're talking about Khloe and her big, quote, big fat butt.
Yes, we got to get
his favorite story.
It is.
All right, let's move on. Look, the last few years have not been kind to the man who was at one time and for a long time the best golfer in the world, maybe the best golfer in history. But Tiger Woods has had a lot of physical problems over the years. We're used to him calling, you know, in sick on tournaments because he's hurt. But this is a first. He's withdrawn from another, not a tournament this time, right, Jim?
No, this time the WD. He withdrew, not from a tournament, but from a press conference. He's in town for the Genesis Open. He was supposed to have a presser on Tuesday, but his back is so jacked up, he couldn't sit down and answer a few questions. So they moved it to Wednesday before they canceled it altogether. And they said it was, quote, because he was advised by doctors to limit all activities. I had no idea that sitting at a table and talking was considered strenuous activity. So never mind picking up a bat and playing 18. He can't sit at a table and talk.
That's unbelievable. For a professional athlete, that is unbelievable. I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Well, and look at this guy, too. I mean, he looks like he's all ripped and shredded. At this point, a 46-year-old fat, hefty Mickelson is in better physical shape than Tiger. From a golf standpoint.
You're absolutely right.
So let me tell you what I see. I see a guy with a messed up back, a messed up swing, a case of stage fright. His heart's really not in it. And even worse, his cat has taken to flying commercial, apparently.
So
rock bottom. Rock bottom was not him bouncing his Escalade off that tree back in the day. It's flying commercial. So if he won't say it, I'll say it for him. This is how it ends. It's not easy to watch. R-I-P-C-A-T.
I'm afraid you're right about that one. All right, last question, and it's what the Laker Nation is talking about. 3 to 5 years to get this team back on track, and that's if Magic Johnson gets to run the team like it seems like he wants to. What's the status on that?
Did I tell you guys Connor's take on Chloe?
Can you mention that? Yes, thank you.
Okay.
What was it?
All right, so anyway, Magic, I'm still trying to find out exactly what this guy's gig is. Initially, the report was he was being brought in to be a, quote, advisor. But the next thing you know, dude's on a media tour telling people he wants to call all the shots and that he's got other people to run his other businesses. So believe me, this guy does not want to advise. He wants to run that whole joint. So on the one hand, he can't be any worse than Jim Buss, but that doesn't mean you give him that, right? He thought that he'd be a great coach. He wasn't. He thought he'd be a great talk show host. He wasn't. And now he wants control of the basketball side of the Lakers. I wouldn't give it to him.
That's
but it looks
really
like they might.
That is really interesting, and maybe I'm just speaking from a point of somebody who would be easily starstruck by Magic Johnson, one of the greatest Lakers of all time. You think that he would know what it takes to win and to run a team, and he knows players and everything like that, but why do you think he's not fit for that job?
Yeah, I'm just not sold. I mean, he's got no experience with that sort of thing, and like I said, he tried to coach back in the day, and that went terribly. We've seen teams give star players the right to run an operation, and it's gone really badly. Isaiah Thomas was an amazing player and a terrible executive. That did not go well. Now, it could. Jerry West is an amazing executive. John Elway for the Broncos has been an amazing executive. But I'm just looking at Magic, and I've got no reason to believe that's going to work out. I'm not saying there's not a role for him. There is a role there, but it shouldn't be that role. I would not give him control. Like, for instance, is he going to do a better job at Mitch Kupchak's job than Mitch Kupchak? I don't know.
Yeah,
I doubt it.
I also heard that when asked, Magic said one of the first calls he would make if he had the opportunity to would be to get Kobe involved with the team somehow as well. Good idea, bad idea?
That's not a bad idea at all. I mean, that's not a bad idea. But again, I'm talking about a certain role. And Kobe, what's Kobe going to do? Is Kobe going to come in and do what Magic tells him to do? Doubt that.
Yeah, I doubt that too. Yeah.
He's another alpha. And if Kobe wants to come in and mentor and give some guys some advice like Magic should be doing, that works for me. But I don't see how the two of those guys can both stand in there and try and run that shop.
All right, before we go, you got anything on Khloe Kardashian's big fat ass? Is that a topic?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that. That's incredible. You guys, you will not believe this story. So,
right.
Connor's in L.A.
All right,
JimRhodes.com
for the show today from 9 till noon. If you miss it, don't forget the Daily Juggle podcast is available through the website. Play.in and iTunes. Have a great week. We'll see you again soon. Bye, Jim.
Bye, guys.
There it is, y'all. Brand new music from the band Incubus. It is called Nimble Bastard. So many questions now that I've heard it. And look who's here. Hit it, Steve. Members in Incubus. Are they incubis? Do we have some incubis in the studio with us? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah.
A couple of us, yeah.
Something like that.
All right, little roll call. Jose, do I see you? I got you, right?
Check. Present.
Mike?
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
Hi. And where's your boy Brandon? What happened? Where's Brandon? What's going on there?
Oh, he's a very healthy guy, and he ran from home. And there was a little bit of running traffic. We hear it's clogged on the running lane, so
he'll
be here
a couple miles out, it sounds like.
Yeah, he's just...
All right. He'll be here shortly.
Well, had to repair his shoe real quick. So.
Welcome, and it's great to see you guys. We love you guys. You know that and have forever. And welcome back. And it's great
to have you on the
radio. We have so many questions. We are Facebook Live-ing this through the K-Rock Facebook page, as always. So
awesome.
I know we'll be hearing from Incubus fans all over the world.
Yay.
Let's go ahead and start with what we just heard, Nimble Bastard. I know, Mike, you've had the itchy trigger finger on social media the last few weeks, dying for people to hear this song.
Goodness gracious. It's like, it's so frustrating.
You hate walking around having something that you know everybody wants to hear and you can't do anything with it, right?
Yeah, it's such a pain in the ass. Sorry.
So tell us where Nimble Bastard came from. What's the genesis of this one?
Well, this song actually came very late in the process of writing new music for a new album that we have coming out very soon. And we're almost done, actually, and it just kind of happened. In the studio, we just started messing around with this musical idea, and next thing we know, we had a song, and Brandon wrote the lyrics, and it's kind of a narrative about someone who overcomes the harshest of circumstances and always ends up landing on their feet, and it's a really fun, energetic song, and we're super happy to share it with our fans and people who want to know.
Nimble Bastard, though, is not an expression, right? I mean, that's just, those are two words that I don't think I've ever heard put together that somehow Brandon thought made sense for this character that you guys are singing about.
Exactly. It's kind of like it's coming from a perspective of being sort of envious of somebody who has those qualities. You know, everybody kind of knows somebody who seems to always land on their feet, even though mm-hmm. the worst things could happen to them. Somebody who's really resilient and
kind of a term of endearment.
Yeah,
in a way.
Oh, it's a compliment.
It's a compliment. Brandon would
be with love.
A better explainer of it than we would, but it's definitely it's fun. At least it's
fun. Yeah, of course. Now, you also, again, information has been hard to come by, and that's why we're so excited to actually have you here at K-Rock this morning to start, getting the word out. You also had tweeted, I think it was, I saw it on Twitter, that it was going to be a little heavier, this album, maybe, and maybe this song's got a little bit more guitars than maybe some of the other songs, too?
I mean, I would just say that the album is very energetic, and that the song that you just heard is sort of representative of the energy that's on the album. Not that the other songs sound just like that, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's all over the place. Our band has always been all over the place as far as stylistically, and the energy of each song is usually different from song to song, but overall,
it's definitely a rocking album, which is, you know, we don't really plan on what kind of record we're going to do. It just sort of happens naturally in the process. And We got a lot of rockers, which is exciting.
Feeling very rambunctious this time around.
And I love that you kind of let the songs present themselves to you. You don't go in there with a preconceived notion of what an Incubus album is.
Yeah,
you go, all right, let's write some music that we love and then see what it wants us to do.
We actually don't know how to do it the other way. We've tried. we sit down and say, okay, we want our album to be this way or that way, and it never happens that way because we write how we feel and we don't have that much control over it.
I'm always – this is the voice, by the way, of Jose and Mike from the band Incubus here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brandon's going to be joining us here shortly.
Yes.
We're talking about the new Incubus song called Nimble Bastard, just world premiered here on K-Rock moments ago. You can watch the interview, too, at Facebook Live on K-Rock's Facebook page. I'm always fascinated, especially with bands like yours that have been around for over 20 years.
26.
You're old, Mike.
Yeah,
she's
years. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
You still don't look old enough to have been in a band for 26 years, particularly you, Mike. You probably still get carded.
I have to grow out my facial hair. That's why I grow that out, and then people don't card me anymore. But it feels like we're still young. You know, it's pretty amazing. That's what music can do. That's the power of music
See, there's our lesson. But so here was my question. So you look at it and you go, I assume there's a conversation that says, we want to make a record that's now, that's how we're feeling now, but how do we not make it sound like the hundreds of songs we've already written and recorded? I mean, I imagine that's a challenge the longer you're together as a group.
Yeah, and the hardest part of that is you can't try to do that either. Like, it has to just be natural, like, or else it's forced.
Yeah,
it's a very strange thing.
We've always been pretty good with that, though, just if you look back at all the records we've done. I mean, we've kind of seen and played and know what we've done in the past, and for us to sort of challenge ourselves and make music that moves us, like we got to explore new territory, you know, explore the space. So that's right,
that's kind of cowbell. Do that. Need more cowbell. I got it. Well done.
But yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of like that. That's what excites me in this band, is that we're always challenging ourselves, and the music that we're writing is new to us. So it's we're involved, we're excited, and this record, same feelings. You know,
that's great. All right, we're gonna take a break. We have many more questions for you. Let's get one fan call on the line, because Mary Grace is calling from Eastvale, and I think this is going to be a completely unsolicited review of the single that she's just heard for the first time here on camera. Mary Grace, you're on with the boys from Incubus. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Oh my God,
hi, Mary Grace.
Good morning, Mike. Just wanted to say congratulations. I'm trying to breathe here.
Thank you.
I might pass out, but
don't do that.
No, I'm not. We are so anxious. We've been so anxious to hear Nimble Bastard, and looking forward to my 60th concert with you guys.
Wow.
So,
that is awesome. Wow.
Yes.
Thank you. Shouldn't ever have to pay for one again.
Yeah, lifetime pass for you.
Let me ask you this, Mary Grace, and we're all friends here, so you can be honest. You saw them 59 times. Did they ever suck?
Help. Oh, I can't say the F word.
I won't tell anyone.
Yeah,
I won't tell anyone.
You can be honest.
You have 100% satisfaction rate after 59 concerts. They've all been what you were hoping for. That's amazing.
Each and every single time, I've never been disappointed, because each time is always different.
That's funny, because I've been disappointed many a time. Many, many a time. But thank you. That is awesome.
Thank you for calling, Mary Grace. We appreciate
thank
it.
Sorry
so
for
much.
Cutting you off.
Thanks, Mary.
Do you hear a lot of stories like that with people who have seen you dozens and dozens of times?
Actually, we do. We have our audience is very, very passionate and very loyal, and we're really thankful for the people that listen to us and support us. It's been incredible.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I know a lot of them are listening right now, and we'll be excited to know that we're going to play the single again when we return. Nimble Bastard, brand new music world premiered this morning on K-Rock from the band Incubus, and we'll talk more with the guys too right after this on K-Rock. Sounding good, you guys. That's brand new Incubus on K-Rock. It's called Nimble Bastard. Jose getting a workout on that one, by the way.
Yeah, that sounds quite lovely over the airwaves, really, I gotta say.
You're hitting those skins hard, my friend.
Thank you.
Mike, are they not called skins? Is that a drum?
No,
whatever
you want.
Hey, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
That's like Mr. Bean. Record producer. That's like, what's his name? Puts his pants on one leg at a time.
Bruce Dickinson.
That's like what Bruce Dickinson would say.
It is.
Hey, Jose, right. Hit those skins.
Beat them skins.
Beat them skins.
I will take your notes. Thank you.
It's all happening.
Incubus fans are watching on Facebook Live through K-Rock around
the world.
From Chile and Thailand, New York, New Mexico, Tennessee.
I love Tennessee.
And I believe we have a fan on the phone. Let's go to line 9 here.
Right.
Let's see. This is going to be Brandon is his name. Apparently, he's a big fan of the band Incubus. Hi, Brandon. You're on with the guys. Go ahead.
Am I caller number 10?
We're not giving anything away right now, but we have a band in here if you have a question.
Hi, this is Brandon, longtime listener. I like the new song.
What happened?
Oh.
We have had enough of his shenanigans.
Right?
Oh, no.
That was a bummer.
The fear?
Chip, is there anything we can do, or is it just the fear?
Maybe hang up a call again.
Yeah, hang up a call again.
Oh,
rotary
Brandon.
Phone.
That was so sad.
He sounded like a big fan.
He did. He sounded like he really knew a lot about the band, too. Hey, am I allowed to say the name of the new album?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
I want to hear how it sounds.
Eight.
Whoa. Eight. Yeah, that's sort of a subtle flex on our part. The album is actually called Eight.
Is that not trying, or what's the genesis of it?
That's just, it's our eighth album. And
uh-huh. Well, we got that.
Been around for a long time.
We're surprised ourselves. So
yeah, right. There's eight.
Oh, do we get Brandon back?
Let's try Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Hi.
Hey. How you doing, buddy? You're going to be our Waze traffic service. What's happening out there today? I understand it's awful.
Well, we've got a lot of problems on the 10 today. I don't even know which direction I'm going.
Yeah, be careful.
So, Brandon, you're listening to K-Rock this morning, and you hear your song on the radio for the first time. How, as the man who's singing it, how does it sound to you?
It sounds really cool, man. I got to say, like, you guys played Pardon Me, our first single. That was the first time I heard any of our songs on the radio, and it's still kind of the same thrill. It's lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's our pleasure. We're so happy to have you back. And you heard what Mike and Jose were saying about making the record. Anything you want to add to that in terms of how this one might have been different from other ones you've done in the past?
Yeah, first of all lies.
You lie.
Don't trust a word of it. Those eagle eggs were a lie, Michael. I'm so happy with how this record turned out. It was challenging, probably more so for me than the other guys. I don't know, but it was rewarding. It was incredibly rewarding. And as we kind of rounded the corner towards the end of the album, it started getting incredibly fun and revealing once we all started seeing what the record was going to be. And you're getting a little taste of it there with the first single. It's a really upbeat, kind of dark, but kind of exciting album. So we're
that's cool.
About it.
Question for Incubus here. They're joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about their new record, 8, due this spring. You had an EP a couple of years ago, but other than that, this has been the longest time in your whole career you've ever gone between full-length albums, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
was that
years.
Just because you said, hey, it's time for us to enjoy it a little bit and live our lives and go out and do other things, or what?
Well, we just knew that the record, the songwriting and the album making process, it has to happen naturally for us. We can't force it. If we force it, the music will suffer. So we just kind of wanted to let it happen when it wanted to happen, and that is what happened. So we now have a whole group of new songs that we're really excited about. And I think that's the best thing we could ever hope for as artists and as a band, is to have music that really makes us excited. So it doesn't really matter how long it takes to get that. If you know, hopefully it's not like 20 years or whatever, but
right.
it did take us a while. So we apologize to our audience, but also we're very grateful to them for sticking around and waiting for it. So we love our fans. They're the most important thing to us.
9 o'clock this morning, something's being unveiled on IncubusHQ.com. Can you talk about that?
Yay. We're going on a tour in the summertime.
Yep. Tour dates will be released this morning on Incubus HQ, and we'll be in a city near you this summer.
Yeah, very exciting.
All right.
And we'll be on tour. We have Jimmy Eat World is playing with us as well, and another band called Judah and the Lion. So.
Oh, super fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the only other thing that we've heard about the record, you know, just from the bits and pieces we've been able to put together through social media, is this Skrillex collaboration, which
Ooh.
I think was a surprise to a lot of people, but you kind of Instagrammed that out, that you guys were hanging out together.
Something
I think you were on top
like
of
that.
Him in a bed or something, weren't you, in that photo?
Something like that.
It was lovely.
Sonny's a very cuddly dude. He loves it.
How does something like that happen?
Friendship. That's how that happens.
Man, what was that?
I've been friends with Sonny for a few years now. We've done a lot of projects together. We've worked together on a bunch of different things, and he's an amazing dude and just a good guy. And we just mix well together.
And if you have a chance to work with your friends, why not work with your friends?
Yeah, right? It's more fun that way. And I'm not saying anything did happen, but if it did, it happened really organically.
Okay. Huh.
Not
All
denying
right.
nor confirming.
And Brandon, let me ask you this question. I know the only date that we know for sure until the announcement goes up at 9 is this fundraising concert that you guys are doing for the ACLU. That's coming up on the 3rd of April at the Staples Center. Tell us about that. Obviously, that's you do a cause like that because you believe in what they're doing. Why is it important for Incubus to be there?
Once again, it was born of kind of friendships.
Friendship.
You know, Michael. Friendship. Michael's good friends with Zed, and Zed put the show together, to my knowledge, with Skrillex, and then the bill started unfolding, and it seemed like the perfect moment to have a bunch of artists put their heads together and make music to benefit the ACLU, you know, and to help raise awareness around so many of these wonderful organizations that our current administration is going to battle against. So, and it's just an amazing opportunity to collaborate with friends and make music and make people smile and make people think, you know.
Yeah, it's a great lineup. We have it up at Kirec.com, but Halsey is there, and as you mentioned, Skrillex and Zed and Incubus and Macklemore, Imagine Dragons, and so much more. That's going to be a super fun show on April 3rd. So it's the genie's out of the bottle now, you guys. Nimble Bastard is released onto the world. Your fans
Yay.
Are going crazy. We're looking at the phones and the Facebook and everything like that, and it's going to be an exciting year, 2017. 2017 for Incubus. This must feel real good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Feels
very
good.
Very excited, yeah.
And we love you and have for a long time. It's always great when you guys stop by, particularly when you bring a treat like this new song. Brandon, I'm sorry you ran into that to traffic, but I know we'll see you again real soon. And you're still coming on down, right?
Yeah, I'm actually almost there.
Hey, can you swing by the Taco Bell on your way? Would you mind? Could you do that for us?
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, will you get me a caramel macchiato from Starbucks, please?
You got
All right.
it, guys.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Jose. Thank you, Mike. And thank you for the music.
We love
Nimble
you guys.
Bastard.
Thank
brand
you
new guys. Incubus here on K-Rock. We'll thank see you guys soon. I believe Incubus just told us that's the band they're taking out on the road this summer.
They did indeed.
Yeah. So you can get all the details about their tour dates on their website, IncubusHQ.com, at 9 a.m. Thanks so much for those guys for stopping by with their brand new music this morning. That was a lot of fun. And Mike Shinoda earlier today with a new Linkin Park song called Heavy, also a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of shows, Coachella is happening, as you know, in April. We have a pair of sold-out three-day passes to Coachella that we're going to give away right now at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, you're telling me that Rodney is in the building? He's going to help us give these tickets away?
He is. Well, he always likes to be around when there's live music and musicians here. So he just was roaming the hallways, and he said he knows everything to know about every band that's playing at Coachella.
Really?
Seriously, because I think of him as really being more into like the 80s
music. He loves the 80s music. That's
Does he
sure.
like the 90s at all?
He hates the 90s, obviously.
Oh, how about that?
And the jury's still out on the next century. I don't think he's made up his mind one way or the other. But
so, in other words, the listener would call and ask like a Kendrick Lamar question, and somehow Rodney would know the answer just because they're playing Coachella?
Rodney says it's slam dunk. He can't stump him.
Huh, okay. So if you got a Bastille question or the XX question or a Beyonce question or whatever it is, apparently Rodney knows them all. You're going to try to stump Rodney to win your way into Coachella. And, of course, if you get those tickets, you're also on the standby boarding list to see any band playing the festival this year anywhere they play in the world. 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn those tickets coming up in minutes. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
I want to thank Bean, too, for his work today. Until today, we never knew he was a black jazz artist from the 50s.
He did say during that one, what? Jose, you're really hitting those skins.
You're really hitting the skins, Jose. Scooby-Bee-Bop. Yeah.
Come on.
You cats really laid out a cool sound,
that's
my
a
brother.
Thing. That's a thing. The drums are commonly called skins.
They were by black men in the 50s, yes. Absolutely.
That was perfectly
fine.
Yeah,
you really hit those skins, my brother. Yeah, scoobity-bee-bop.
Oh, Bean.
We have Superfly Bean for the Mike Shinoda interview. Here's a little taste of Superfly Bean.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my brother. Peace out. You're really hitting the skins, my brother. No, my brother. You got to get your own.
Look.
Oh,
look.
God.
You look.
Look.
You look.
You want to hear it again?
Please, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my brother. You got to get your own.
I'm just as God made me.
Oh, isn't that the truth? You're that. You're so special in so many ways. Pamela Anderson, she wants Queen Elizabeth to stop killing bears. And I think she's got a point. You know me, I'm not the biggest animal rights advocate in the world. I think animals should be treated fairly, and I hate animal cruelty. But I'm a guy that's like, look, if it comes between me and a steak, you know, cow's going down.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not hardcore.
Well, I hear you.
I hate that, mm-hmm. but I don't understand how the queen is killing bears.
Well, let me explain it. And I did not know this, but if this is in fact the practice, then it's madness. It needs to stop immediately. Pamela Anderson says she wants to ask Queen Elizabeth to save the Canadian black bears because one bear is killed for each of those tall fur hats worn by the Queen's guards at Buckingham Palace.
Oh, really?
Those, they're called busbies, and the busbies that they wear are made from actual bear fur. And Pamela Anderson claims that one bear is killed for each one of those hats that have to be made.
Now, is it possible that the fur is what's left over after the bears are killed for meat? Is it possible it's just a byproduct of the bears being taken down? They're not actually being killed just for the fur, I hope.
I am not that deep into this story to know. I don't know who's serving up Canadian black bear meat steaks either.
Me?
I don't know what the demand is for bear meat.
I think
on the open market,
you eat what you can get, I think. But
You're the Canadian roaming the countryside foraging? It's an organized, it's a civilized country, you know,
yeah,
Canada.
Yeah, within the first 200 miles of the border. But once you get beyond that, it's just frozen tundra, you guys.
Yeah,
Northern
they're not
Canada
savages.
Is no
they
joke.
Live in homes and they have they're, stores.
They live in igloos and they hunt with spears.
What just went Come on. Down there?
I'm just saying.
Come on, my brother. You know they're not hitting the skins like that.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. You know, Superfly.
Look,
I mean,
I'm fine with Pam's request. I hope the Queen. I mean, look, there's no excuse in 2017 to be using real animal fur for anything. They have synthetic fur that is virtually identical to the real fur. You can't even tell the difference. So just make the fake stuff.
Yes. Pam says she's already working with a Russian faux fur manufacturer.
Always
which
the
has,
Russians.
Which has developed a fake bear skin for the Busbys. They said it is almost indistinguishable from the real thing. So Pamela says she's got two prototypes that she had manufactured in Moscow, and they're under her arm, and she's going to go to the Queen and punch her right in the face.
Oh.
No, I don't know what she's going to do. But I'd like to think Queen Elizabeth's out there killing the bears before the hats.
For sure.
Well, come here, you bear. I'm better than you. I can do that because Kevin's not here.
Little corgi by your side.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
She's in her 90s now. I think her bear killing days are behind her.
She's a sturdy bear killer, my brother. Give me a little super flat bean.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Got to get your own. did I talk about Hollywood Babylon yet happening? Did I mention
many
that?
Times.
No,
many,
I don't
many
think
times.
I did I mention it this time?
Not
this.
I wasn't
show
listening.
This oh,
yeah.
Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage once again at the Improv on Melrose to do our Hollywood Babylon show. We're going to have a pretty good time. Saturday night. Usually it's Fridays, but this week it's Saturday. Come on out and see us. You can go to improv.com to get more information and tickets.
No!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ice-T is 59. Elizabeth Olsen celebrates her 28th birthday, and The Weeknd is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Kara, QFM 106.7. It's Rodney in the mornings.
Hey, Rodney.
I'll be doing AM.
Nope.
Morning show.
No,
every
it's still,
morning, Monday.
It's still Kevin Bean. We just asked you to stop by
Friday,
to help us give away some Coachella tickets.
Tuesday. Thursday.
Weird
nope.
order.
Nope.
Wednesday.
Okay.
All right.
Really? That is kind of weird.
The weekdays.
Hey, Rodney.
We're doing, with in Britain, they call them a breakfast show.
Breakfast show, right. All right, listen, Rodney.
Breakfast with
I'm glad you're here.
Rodney in the morning a.m.
It's just, it's still the Kara Kevin Bean show, but listen, let me ask you this question.
7.
We're giving away Coachella tickets. We got fans on the line who
All
are
right,
dying to
Coachella.
Win. Coachella, right? We have fans on the line who are dying to go to this festival, and we have been told that you are so jacked about who's playing the bill this year that you are prepared to answer any trivia questions about Radiohead and about Father John Misty and about Travis Scott and Beyonce and Bon Iver and Future, Kendrick Lamar, Justice, New Order. You know them all.
I know. Every band playing Coachella this year. So
okay.
It's not Coachella.
Trivial Pursuit, you have just call in now. We'll get right back to you.
No, we're not going to get back to him, but you can call now, 1-800-520-1067. If you've got a trivia question, you can get past the great Rodney Bingenheimer. We're asking you now to stump Rodney.
Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
And I got to warn you again, Rodney, because I know you know, you're old and adult.
I love the 80s.
That's what my point is, that you love the 80s so
love
much that sometimes you think that's what we're talking about, but that's not the case here. We're talking about all current artists that are playing
talking
Coachella.
About Father John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Let's go to Robert in Huntington Beach to
all
get you started with a super easy question.
Super.
He's on line 7, and this is just going to kind of ease you into it, because he's going to ask one that there's no way you don't know it.
All right.
All right, Robert, you're on with the great Rodney Bingenheimer. Go ahead.
Hi, Rodney.
Hi.
Who's the lead singer of Radiohead?
Belinda Carlisle.
Okay.
All right. Heaven is a place on earth.
Why would you say that it's Belinda Carlisle? Does that make any sense to you, Rodney?
She sang for the Go-Go's.
Right, but we're talking about Radiohead.
So close. It's Tom York.
Tom York, of course, is what we're looking for. Robert, you're in the drawing. Please hang on. Nice job.
Tom York from Bewitched played Darren.
Dick York. Rodney, for God's sake.
Why do
calling him that? What did he ever do to you?
That's his name, Rodney.
Let's go to line five. This is going to be our man, Ray. He is in Corona. He has a question, I believe, about the Saturday night headliner at Coachella.
All right. Saturday Night Fever.
Ray, you're on with Rodney. Go ahead.
Rodney, what's up? What's Beyoncé's mom's name?
Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah, does it seem likely that that's
from
true?
Bengals?
The Bengals. All right.
Is it Susanna Hoffs, Ray?
No, it's Tina Knowles.
It's Tina Knowles. Yeah, she was just on stage at the Grammys. She introduced her daughter on the Grammys the other
night,
Rodney.
Tina Sinatra.
Oh, Tina Knowles. Okay, all thank you. Let's go to line four, please. Go to Irvine. Let's get Jordan on the line. She has a question about one of the bands playing the bill.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so this is a good one. So do you know why Bastille got their name, or like how they got their name?
They got their name from the Fine Young Cannibals.
Huh.
All you right. Know?
Hold on a second. Jordan, hang on. How would that work, Rodney?
They'd say, we need a name.
Yeah.
Fine Young Cannibals.
Right. Huh?
Cannibals say, okay, let's call you Bastille.
But why would they go to a band from 25 years ago to ask them for a name?
Good names.
Okay. All right, what's the real answer, Jordan?
So Dan Smith, the lead singer, his birthday is on July 14th, which is Bastille Day. So Bastille.
See, so much better. So much better.
I have to agree to disagree on
well,
this one.
Well, Jordan is right, though. Thank you, Jordan. Hang on.
Right. Fake
Let's
news.
Go to line two. This is Valencia's Dylan, who's on with Rodney Bigginheimer on the Kevin Beach Show.
Dylan.
Give it away. Tickets for Coachella. All right. Dylan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
So my question is, what is DJ Snake's real name?
Freddy.
Freddy Snakeskin.
Is it Freddy Dylan?
No, it's William Sammy Etienne Gregorian.
Well, that's not nearly as catchy as DJ Snake.
That's dumb.
That's for sure. Thank you. You're in the drawing. Hang
the
on.
Worst.
Let's try. You know the band Group Love, right? Rodney, you're familiar with
Group
Love?
Sure.
Very popular band.
Twins.
Let's go to Orange and talk to Robert. He's got a question about Group Love. They're playing the Sunday night show of Coachella this year.
All right.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi.
Hey. Which two members of the band Group Love have a baby together, Rodney?
Flock of Seagulls.
That doesn't make any sense, Rodney.
Debbie Gibson.
None of those people are in Group Love.
Frankie
Focus,
goes
man.
To Hollywood.
Focus. What's the answer, Robert?
It is Christian and Hannah.
Well, if you'd have known that, Rodney, then I guess Robert would not be in the drawing to win the ticket. So I guess it's good for him that you did. All right, let's do one more. You don't win anything. Oh. Let's do one more, and let's make it Andrew. He's in Glendale. He's on line three. He's got a question about the Sunday night headliner.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi. My question is, who came to Kendrick Lamar in his sleep and told him to save rap music?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Okay. You're thinking about it, though.
Thinking
I like
about it.
Billy
Idol.
Now, would Billy Idol tell someone to save rap music?
Yeah, with a rebel yell.
Okay,
he
was it Billy Idol,
more,
Andrew?
More rap.
No, it was Tupac.
Well, that makes a lot more sense,
right.
Doesn't it, for your story? All right, thank you, Andrew.
Tupacs of what?
Thank you, guys.
Oh, God. Rodney, you're exhausted.
What did I win?
Robert, Dylan, Andrew, Jordan.
Bob Dylan?
Ray, Robert are all in the drawing.
How many Roberts are there?
What?
Two.
I think there are two, aren't there?
Yes.
Yeah, there are two. Only one will win tickets to the sold-out three-day passes for Coachella. I'll be on the standby boarding list to see any band to play anywhere in the world. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Andrew.
All right.
Way to go, Andrew.
Andrew.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Have a great time. And thanks for playing Stump Rodney.
Enjoy Coachella.
It's all
right.
Stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
Imagine Dragons on K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday morning. By the way, if you're one of those lucky stiffs that gets to wake up late and you therefore miss most of the Kevin and Bean Show, you missed a lot today because Mike Shinoda stopped by with brand new Linkin Park music. The band Incubus came in with their brand new song. We world premiered for you last hour, and we'll be playing both of those again coming up after 10 a.m. So definitely stick around for some new music. All right, Allie, I got some great news for you.
Yeah?
Guess who's singing the national anthem at the Kings game tonight?
Adele.
I don't have news that's quite that good. Dr. Drew Pinsky.
He'll do.
Well, Dr. Drew!
Hey, guys, thanks. Hey, speaking of Adele, though, she gave me a big shot of confidence because she was in that very room
And she started screwing up. She goes, excuse me, I got to stop and start over. I thought, wow, if Adele can do that,
right?
I can do that.
Right?
So I'm not worried. I was really concerned. Maybe I'd screw up. If I screw up, I'll just start over.
That was so – look, I know we already all love Adele because she's beautiful and wonderful and talented and nice and perfect and everything. But wasn't that such a sweet human moment where you almost feel like almost anybody else people would have been mocking online for screwing it up? But everybody was just like, aw, she cares.
Not only that, you could all, everyone in the room could feel like something's not right here. And I was like, uh-oh. And she really wanted to get it right, so good for her. And by the way, there's a psychological phenomenon. It's sort of referred to sometimes as the slip on the banana peel, which is if you – screw up a little bit, people like you better because they don't like perfection. They like the humanness.
Right.
So they, if you go in for a job interview, if you're very buttoned up, some people recommend you like spill a glass of water or a cup of coffee on yourself, and you'll more likely get hired.
That is interesting.
I like it.
Now, Dr. Drew, how many times have you sung the anthem for the Kings?
Once for the King, twice for the Dodgers, and once for Jason Ellis at Ellis Mania.
No. Did you really? That's amazing.
Did the Kings win the last time you sang the anthem?
They did.
They did. Not only that, they scored within 30 seconds of me stepping off the ice. Katie Kevin was there, remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yes, 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 yes. And your friend Pia, who often sings for the Kings, she just got married like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes, and we've been trying to reach her. I think she must be on her honeymoon or something.
Yeah.
I wanted her to coach me up, and she had not around.
All right. Well, very exciting. Congratulations, Doc. We love seeing you do that, and I know it's going to go great. We want to talk to you about something real important today, and it's something that I know is very close to your heart because you have been preaching this through all your various media outlets for years, including on this show. But the opioid addiction in the United States is almost at an epidemic. And I don't know if there's a technical definition for epidemic, but I feel like in my mind it's gotten so out of control that it's fair to say, at least in layperson's terms, it's an epidemic.
Yes, it's fair to say epidemic. It is certainly a crisis. It is certainly one of the healthcare issues of our day. And I don't know if you saw that New York Times article that came out as well that I wanted to talk to Kevin about today, which also chanted something, or at least it confirmed something I've been chanting for many years, is that you should never get surgery for back pain. You should not take opiates for back pain for more than a week, ever, unless there's some sort of motor dysfunction that is going to impair you in the future, then you do it. But for pain, you do not do these things because it's more likely to get worse if you do them.
Well, you have to have that conversation with him when he gets back because he's out today getting opioids for back pain.
And maybe a surgery, too. Maybe we can mix that in.
So Doc, go back to square one for 1 second for folks who don't understand the term. What kinds of drugs are under the umbrella of opioids?
So it's really, you know, the derivatives of the poppy. So it starts with morphine and those sorts of pure opiates. And then we have these synthetic drugs that are derived off that called the opioids. So it's Vicodin and codeine and OxyContin and oxycodone. And you can keep going right down the list. Percocet, Dilaudid, fentanyl now is one, of course, in the news a lot. And these are all equally addictive. You can, you know, people get very focused on, oh, my God, it's so strong. Well, it doesn't really matter because people dose up to whatever level they want to maintain their addictive pathology. You know, my average Vicodin patient was taking 50 tablets a day. I had some taking 100 tablets.
Oh, my gosh.
And so if you're taking a couple drops of fentanyl or 100 Vicodin, why is one worse than the other? If that's your drug of choice, that's the one that is going to kill you. The real problem is if doctors add in benzodiazepine and hypnotics, so the Valium class, things like Valium, Clonopin, Ambien, and that's when people die. That's what kills people today, period, end of story. And, Bean, you wanted to ask about how the modifications or repeal or whatever we're into here with the Affordable Care Act could affect all this, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because I understand from just seeing news articles here and there that there are a lot of people who are getting coverage because of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, whichever name you prefer, that now looks like it might be pulled out from under them, and that's a serious thing. If you're getting addiction help and then they pull it away and you can't afford it, then what?
Yeah, it's so complicated. I sort of dreaded talking about this. Again, you guys are giving me a tall order. Well, first of all, we don't know what's going to happen, right? We have no idea what's going to happen. There was an announcement this morning that they're going to shorten the window for application to 45 days from 3 months because people were gaming the system. They were signing up for 3 months while they were sick and then dropping out.
Oh.
So, you know, for $200 a month, people would get $200,000 worth of care. And it was, you know, the insurance carriers cannot survive.
Of course. Yeah, there's no question Obamacare wasn't perfect, that's for sure. But these people that we're specifically talking about that have opioid addictions, they do need some help somehow.
Well, but here's the complex thing, Bain. The kinds of treatment, and this is one physician's opinion, and I have a very strong opinion about this, and people could argue with me, but I have, through my 20 years of experience, I'm very concerned about the kind of treatment that the coverage for affordable care is pushing, which is something called harm avoidance therapies, things like Suboxone and methadone. And that is merely, in my humble opinion, building a house of cards that's going to collapse in the future. Mm. So the kinds of treatment that is being pushed, I'm very concerned about.
So what kinds of treatment would you do?
Well, unfortunately, the kind of treatment that I advocate is trying to get people back to full health, full functioning, what we call flourishing, and that takes months and months or even years, as opposed to outpatient visits to a doctor for a prescription for another opioid. And by the way, if people want to take focus on an evil empire, look at the manufacturer of Suboxone. Everyone wants to blame OxyContin. I'm telling you, that was perpetrated by me and my peers, physician overprescribing. But the Suboxone story is a company getting in bed with the government, and now the government pushing this form of treatment that it can be life-saving. I don't want to say this is a horrible treatment. I'm saying the excessive use of it is
right.
Terribly concerning for me.
So if somebody goes to the doctor today, in our final moments here with the great Dr. Drew Pinsky, and he or she has a lot of pain going on for something, are you advising them to stay away, don't accept prescriptions for these types of opioids, or are there times where it is the appropriate medication?
It's always the appropriate medication for acute pain. It is not rarely the appropriate medication for chronic pain. And if you're using it for more than 7 days, and certainly if you're using it for more than 6 months, beware. And do not accept a prescription for an opioid and a benzodiazepine chronically. You can do it acutely, carefully. But again, acute pain, look, that's what's so alluring about these drugs for doctors. We get into medicine to alleviate suffering. That's one of the mm-hmm. first things we learn how to do. We push a morphine and people's suffering goes away. It's tremendously compelling. It works magically. It has a dark side.
Yeah.
And so that's the issue that people need to be educated about. And if you have a drug addiction or alcoholism, be very careful.
That is great advice, and I think that's the type of thing that I think all of our listeners need to hear, because most of us are going to be put in that position. And stuff happens. You know, you do get hurt, and it's good to kind of know ahead of time what you're in for if you start down that road.
If you have a drug addiction, consult with somebody who really knows how to administer to you in such a way that you will not get strung out again, because there are ways to do it.
Great stuff, as always, from our friend Dr. Drew. DrDrew.com is the website. Go for all the podcasts, his own, the show with Adam Carolla that he does every day, the weekly Infusion podcast. And don't forget, look for him with our friend Mike Catherwood on KABC from noon till 3 on 790 AM. Doc, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. You're listening to World Famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a very busy Thursday morning show. Ralph Garman steps in. Hey, dude.
Hey, my brother.
Hey, my brother. My man.
If you missed it today, Bean has become a black jazz musician from the 50s.
That's not the case at all.
It was. He was talking to Incubus, and he said, "You guys are really hitting the skins." And then, inexplicably, when he was talking to Mike Shinoda, this happened.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my brother. Power to the people. Power to the people, Mike Shinoda.
I was trying to get across a genuine affection for Mike,
right.
A guy that we've known mm-hmm. on this show for 18 years
right.
or something.
And all those words you just used, would it sounded great?
It was just my way
of saying for you. Thanks for all the years you've spent with us, Mike.
It was just my way of not treating him like a stranger, letting him know that we feel like he's part of the family,
right?
And
you
when you're
like he was one of the backup singers for James Brown.
It's a Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
My brother.
It's a compliment to say someone is your brother. You see that all the time in sports. They talk about my brothers out there on the field with me.
Yes, you can see you're my brother. I feel like we're brothers. But if you say, thanks for coming in, my brother, you sound like Superfly. And it's not isolated. I remember the other day, we were talking about a new album. I forget whose album it was, but I was asking you if I could borrow it. Do you remember? Could play it back with that conversation, Chip. The commercial?
This is a fantastic album, man. Let me borrow it.
No, my brother. You got to buy your own.
Remember when you told me that?
Again, it's a compliment about the affection I feel for you as a coworker, Ralph.
No, my
That's
brother.
All.
You got to buy your own.
Allie, could I get a ruling from you?
Can
on
I get
this
a whip,
one?
Whip?
Is it wildly inappropriate for me to say to Mike, my brother?
It just sounds ridiculous.
It was so
it's not
white,
that it's inappropriate.
But it was
just
darling.
Sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the
you can't pull it off is what we're saying.
I think the slap in the skins was.
No,
Oh, Jose, you're really slapping the skins there, my brother.
Because we were talking to Jose from Incubus after their new song where the drumming is very powerful on it.
How about that? How about the drumming is very powerful?
It's okay to call
it really slapping the skins.
It's okay.
You're not in a doo-wop band. In 1958, not Bobby Freeman.
I'm doing. Hey, that hurts. He just died this week. I'm doing the best I can here, guys.
Well, do better is what we're saying.
I love it, Bean. Keep doing what you're doing,
my brother.
Thank you, my sister.
Here's good news. If you're a fan of The Big Bang Theory, it looks like CBS is very close to signing a deal which would keep the show on the air for another 2 years.
Yay!
And that, of course, pay the stars. Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, Haley Cuoco. $1 million per episode.
How long has The Big Bang Theory been on?
This,
10 years?
The next two seasons, it's been 10 years, so the next season will be the 11th and 12th seasons for the show.
All right, well, I may have time to check it out then.
And they say that this may be the final deal, and the 12th might be the final season for that show, but it would guarantee at least 2 more years of Bazinga.
I have heard stories of shows like this that go out on top. They're so popular. In this case, Big Bang Theory is number one or close to it of all on television, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they just, at some point, it costs so much to make it, they can't make any money on it, no matter how popular it is.
Because of the high salaries?
Because of the high salaries. That's what happened with Frasier. That's why Frasier went off the air.
Yeah. I guess that I don't know about showbiz math, but I do know that the syndication deal that The Big Bang Theory got was so tremendously lucrative that I can't imagine they would want anything but more episodes.
Right.
Because they're making a ton of money in syndication.
Yeah.
That show.
Yeah, but you're right. The math is often pretty sketchy in Hollywood.
Yeah. My brother. So, and Hugh Jackman wants everybody to know that he's okay. Photos surfaced this week of him with a patch on his nose. He had to have some basal cell carcinoma removed from his nose. This is the sixth time he's had that particular skin cancer removed. And so they wanted to take it off. And he wants everyone to know he's fine. The bandage looks bad, but he's still beautiful.
This was a success.
And use sunscreen. That's his moral of the story. Hugh Jackman.
Everyone is free to use sunscreen, is what you're saying.
Everyone, yes, yes. Okay. If he had one piece of advice, use sunscreen would be it.
Would it?
Hugh Jackman. I see that Logan trailer, by the way, speaking of Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Fantastic.
And speaking of things nerdy and comic-y, Long Beach Comic Expo is coming up this weekend.
Yeah!
Long Beach Comic Expo at the Long Beach Convention Center this weekend. We have got 2-day passes to give away to my people. The geeks, the nerds, the people who like comic books and cosplay and action figures and toys. This has got it all. If you'd like to go, I'm going to ask you a little trivia questions. Hardcore. They're going to get harder as the week goes on because this is a hard-to-get ticket. You got to know the answer if you want to go. Call in with the correct answer. First 4 people at 1-800-520-1067, and you will get a pair of 2-day passes to the Long Beach Comic Expo. Here is your comic book question. Batman, starting with Adam West in the 1960s. Let's start there. Name me every actor that has played Batman in a live-action movie. Okay. I gave you the first one, Adam West. We're starting in 1966 forward. All the actors who have played Batman, not the animated version because that's just too many, but we're talking about live-action actors who have played Batman. Give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First 4 folks through with the right answer. Get a pair of passes to the Long Beach Comic Expo.
Nerd alert!
How dare you? This is pretty cool. You know, they had wild success. Ryan Murphy did with his American Crime Story, the O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next one is going to be American Crime Story, I believe, Katrina, right? Isn't that the next one set up?
Yes.
And then they're doing another one about the murder of Versace, Gianni Versace.
Right.
And they just announced that Darren Criss from Glee has been cast as Andrew Cunanan. Remember him? He was
the murderer.
Serial killer who took his life. And the fashion designer Gianni Versace will be played by Edgar Ramirez.
Okay.
Who starred in Point Blank.
That Ryan Murphy, man. It's unbelievable how many shows, how many hours of television he's producing a year. And the level of quality is outstanding.
He is a very creative, prolific producer.
Yeah, very much so.
Started with Glee. I guess that was his big sort of splash, smash hit.
Yeah.
But then he just turned directions 180 degrees and ended up with the horror...
American Horror Story.
And then doing crime.
Remember Popular?
Was that him too?
Popular? That was him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Popular?
I think so.
Oh, now see what you're doing. I didn't think so. Really popular?
Absolutely
from the CW?
Was. Absolutely was.
It was Carly Pope, and who was the other actress that...
Leslie Bibb.
Leslie Bibb, mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that show. Anyway, that's some casting news for you.
Leslie Grossman is Mary Cherry. Only the best. Right?
Okay, now no one knows what you're talking about.
Popular was so good.
Ryan Murphy, co-creator of Popular.
There you go. And this is an interesting story. I'm glad they're doing this. I, for many years, said this would make a great film. Little-known story, back in 1964, in the summer of 64, at the height of their newfound popularity in America, and around the world, really, the Beatles were on tour in Copenhagen, Denmark, Holland, Hong Kong, Australia. And during that international tour, Ringo got hospitalized with severe tonsillitis. But rather than postpone the tour, the show had to go on. So they got a stand-in drummer for Ringo, a guy named Jimmy Nicol, who got behind the drums and played with the Beatles for all those gigs. At the end of the gig, he was given a check for £500 and a watch and a hearty handshake saying, thanks a lot. And Ringo got back with the band and, of course, you know, went on to superstardom. But imagine being, for 4 months, one of the Beatles in 1964.
Wow.
So they've just announced they are making a movie based on that story.
That's a fantastic story for a movie.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's based on the book called The Beatle Who Vanished. And
killed?
No.
He went missing.
Well, yeah, because then he would have talked if they'd let him live.
That's what I'm saying.
He's still very much alive.
Well, he got out.
Jimmy's 77 years old,
peace,
still drumming. But
he's hitting the skins?
He's hitting the skins, my brother. He's slapping the skins. And, but for a white hot moment there, he was one of the Beatles.
Wow. How did no one come up with this story before?
Well, I've known the story.
Really?
But I haven't been in a position to make a movie about it.
I feel like you could.
I don't have that
and
kind
when
of
the Beatles
clout.
Arrived
See?
In America.
Rodney knows.
It really changed our lives. I mean, look.
Changed our lives.
We grew hair.
We grew
when
hair.
The Beatles
we
were
used
on
to
television.
Be bald, right?
We started bands.
We started bands for the first time ever.
Started dressing cooler.
We had cool clothes.
But before all that happened,
right.
There
was news.
The Beatles. Was John F. Kennedy really put everybody in a sad position.
Yeah, that bastard.
And then the Beatles arrived
and
sort of changed everybody's lives, basically.
Basically,
they did.
I mean,
we grew hair.
Roddy's right.
Hey, the Beatles invented us. Let's just put it that way.
Put it that way. They invented us.
All right.
Do we have to put it that way?
Yes,
because we didn't exist before
there was
the Beatles.
Big empty country, and then the Beatles came here and they invented us.
Okay.
Because who would cheer for them if there was no one here? They had to invent.
Oh.
We're like robots. We're like Beatle-programmed robots.
Wait. Ralph, you want to talk to your winner?
Yes, I do. Eamon from La Habra.
Hi. It's Adam West, Michael Keaton,
yes.
Val Kilmer,
yes.
George Clooney,
yes.
Christian Bale,
yes.
and Ben Affleck.
Well done, sir. Yeah! You got them all. Hold on. We'll give the details, but you're going to Long Beach for the Long Beach Comic Expo this weekend.
Sweet. Thank you so much.
Congratulations also to Brad and Adam and Robert. They're also all
good. A lot of dudes.
Ralph, out of them, let's leave out Adam West.
Adam West.
Who would be your favorite?
The best performance of Batman to date, in my opinion, was Christian Bale's.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, but Keaton, Keaton's great.
He's mine.
So great.
Oh,
but I
yeah.
thought those, I thought the scripts and the direction was kind of weird and quirky. I mean, it's just... It's hard to choose between those two, but I think Bale really captured sort of the Bruce Wayne Batman dichotomy the best, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Did I do birthdays yet?
No.
Today, celebrity birthdays: Ice-T's 59, Elizabeth Olsen's 28, The Weeknd is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. My brother.
Thank you, my brother. Hey, on your drive home today, why not listen to a commercial-free...
You made it weirder. Then you made it stranger.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. You sound like a black guy doing an impersonation of a white guy.
Should I not talk? Should I just not talk?
Come on, my brother.
Are we at the point now where I shouldn't be allowed near a microphone?
You got to buy your own.
On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour right here on KROQ. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. You know, today was a my part accepted. It was a pretty outstanding Kevin Bean show.
I thought you were great, Bean.
Kind of red-letter day with all the great guests that we had today. But tomorrow, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Friday, that means the Movie Beat. We got a brand-new Internet Roundup for you like we do. Give away that Coachella grand prize to send somebody to see a band on the bill anywhere that they're playing in the world. And two very special guests. Director Gore Verbinski is going to be here in studio with us. This dude's been around for a long time, and he's done a lot of movies you love, including, I think, three or four of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
All the Pirates, I think. All the Pirates films.
He did Lone Ranger. He did that. Mm-hmm. He's just done a ton of movies, and he's got this new film that looks really, really good. That's called A Cure for Wellness. So we'll talk to Gore about that tomorrow. Also, the great Ice Cube will be here on the show tomorrow. Mm. Mother effing Cube is going to be joining us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mm. That'll be a I'm going to call him my brother.
You should.
Please
I'm going to call Ice Cube my brother.
I'm going to ask you not to.
And ask me to be slapping the skins these days.
That is not going to be the tiniest bit awkward.
Nope.
That's all tomorrow right here on KROQ.